I wonder if we could maybe do the minutes and stuff, so we do the intros. Should we do the intros?
What time is it?
So go ahead. Yeah, okay.
Somebody go together.
Yeah.
She'll be along.
Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to begin the meeting in the momentary absence of our colleague. Oh, here she is. Terrific. Calling Commissioner Warren to her seat. We're happy to be here. And all important matters I delegate to my vice chairman, so he's going to take over the introductions.
Okay, hold your applause till the end. On my left is Jack Bayless from Los Angeles, and then we have Sophia Sherman from Elk Grove, and Aquanetta Warren from Fontana, Paul Witt from Los Angeles, the far end, Gail Kautz from Lodi, again. Back from Lodi. Sorry.
Thank you.
And Carol Hart from Sebastopol.
There we go. And, of course, I'm Bobby Shriver from Santa Monica, and he's
our famous chairman.
From Monterey or Carmel. Or where do we acknowledge that you're from?
Wherever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pick a spot.
Pick a spot. Okay. Turning to our serious report, the first thing we're going to discuss today is the Children's Bill of Rights resolution that I think all of us have had a chance to see. I'm going to ask Commissioner Hart to read certain segments of this resolution.
All right. We're very excited to consider supporting the Children's Bill of Rights today, and I'd like to just read a few key parts of it. This is a resolution in support of the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. Whereas studies document that children who are active outdoors do better in school, have better social skills and self-image, lead more fulfilled lives, and experience a marked benefit to health concerns. And whereas California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger supported the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights in his proclamation of July 6, 2007, stating participating in outdoor activities is not only an enjoyable way for kids to get the exercise they need, it also helps them develop a greater appreciation for our magnificent environment. Whereas the California State Park and Recreation Commission makes recommendations to the governor through the director on existing and operating recreational facilities, programs, and activities of the state park system. Therefore, now be it resolved that the California State Park and Recreation Commission is proud to join Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in promoting the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights and announce that California State Parks is the first state department to join the governor in his support of this initiative. So I would move that this resolution be adopted by the California State Park and Recreation Commission today, August 24th, 2007, and presented to California State Parks Director Ruth Coleman.
I'll second.
I would second.
Okay, we have a couple of seconds. That's terrific. Anyone like to discuss this in any way? Okay. All in favor of this?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Great. We've adopted it. So would we now sign this? Is this the way we'd like to do this, Director Coleman?
Yeah, you can sign it right there. If you guys want to move forward to get the signing, that'd be all right.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Let's see if you can sign it. If you can sign it as well as I stated those principles.
I'm going to sign it first.
Okay, please do.
Watch this very carefully.
Oh, okay. And we are witnessing this.
Yes, we are witnessing this. Exactly.
Okay.
Here we go.
I think in this era of computers and television, that this is very important.
We're going to present it to the director.
Oh, we are going to present it to the director.
Yes, that is
Oh, my God. Everybody, this is the official action we're about to take down.
Ask the first state director.
Right, presenting it to the director.
Okay. Hey, your direction. Come over.
Presenting it to the director.
I want your kids to be out in the field.
Yeah. Right. Anybody's children who are not very active in the parks will all be arrested.
Be behind me. That's
Keep them healthy.
Keep them healthy, exactly.
All kids need to play outside.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excuse me. What's that?
Bobby, are you going to ask
the staff to have an action plan on this, on what they're going to do?
On the recreation policy?
With the kids.
Sure. I said we have a recreation policy. Mm-hmm. Actually, Ruth, do you want to?
Sure, we have a recreation policy, but what you're asking for is what are we going to do to promote this actively? And so, yeah, what we can do is, as a matter of routine, next time we meet, so give you an update on what we've done. At this point, you've all received bookmarks, and so those are being produced. This is actually an effort of the Recreation Roundtable, so it's much broader than state parks. So we are the first state agency to adopt this. Other local governments are starting to adopt it. And it will be discussed at the National Association of State Park Directors Conference in about a week, and National Park Service is also there, and they're going to be entertaining this. So we're sort of working, California's leading the way, and we're hoping this will become a national movement to remind parents to take their kids outdoors and all the benefits of outdoor play. Sure.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a comment.
Please.
You know, I'd really like to take this back to the League of California Cities so that all the local government agencies and local counties can adopt similar. We have a program, Healthy Fontana, in the city of Fontana, and we've been able to bring that program to the whole county, and this is fantastic.
Yeah. So it's great leadership by Governor Schwarzenegger, and we're hoping that all cities, counties, and other states take up the banner and really promote this idea.
Sure. Talking with Ms. Warren, the League of California Cities, we're having our general conference in Sacramento in September, so that would be a great time for us to present the chair there.
Great. Well, maybe you two can work on that. That's terrific. Okay, the second item of business is I hope everybody sees in their packet, and I hope the public sees that the commission received this letter from Speaker Nunez regarding the Allensworth matter. Unfortunately, we received this letter, which people may have seen, too late to be able to formally agendize and discuss it today. So the question presented by this letter as a legal matter is whether anybody on the commission would like to have this agendized for a future meeting. I know you,
yes,
Commissioner Warren, you've been active on this issue. So
I would really appreciate if we could agendize this. Unfortunately, I think that by the time we have our meeting again, it may be a little too late, but I think we should still put this on our agenda for the next meeting, if that's appropriate.
Sure. Our next meeting is scheduled to be a workshop, but we can schedule it as a meeting. It's October 13th, and that'll be actually, I think, the 29th day of the 30 days that the governor has to either sign a veto bill. So it's coming at the very, very end of the – it's after the legislature has recessed, but it's actually before the final actions will be done. So we'll be happy to put that on.
Okay,
I believe
great.
That Speaker wanted the letter read into the record as part of his request.
Why are we reading it into the record if we're legally not allowed to agendize it? I'm happy to read it into the record.
Yeah. What you are not allowed to do is take any formal action.
Right. Okay.
But in terms of discussion of the content of the letter, short of any action, that you can do.
Okay, well, maybe we could just insert the letter into the record rather than reading it and taking everybody's time. And I think Commissioner Warren and everybody on the commission, when we did hear this issue at Colonel Allensworth, I think the strong sense of the commission was that it was a very important park and that the commission itself fully supported efforts to preserve the park and its history and tradition. I think we resolved that at our last meeting and that sort of remains the sense of the commission.
Right. Is it basically, as we originally talked about this issue, is trying to stop the attack on our state parks being, I call it, ravished and remodeled in a way that the people are not allowed to utilize those parks.
So that being done, we'll put this into the record, sort of in the record, agendize it for the next meeting, and something's funny. Great. Okay, we'll move on to item 3, which is the letter from the Boating and Waterways Commission. Director Coleman, do you want to give a quick little summary of that?
Sure. The Commission of Boating and Waterways has requested a two-on-two meeting. They're a commission appointed by the governor, and they would like to select two of their members to meet with two of yours. And so I've spoken at this point to both Commissioner Aquanetta Warren and to Jack Bayless, and they both have agreed that they would be willing to do this. The issue for the commission is that we currently receive $26 million a year from the Harbors and Watercraft Fund, which is the taxes on gasoline used in boats, and that those funds have been deposited in state parks as a supplanting of general fund to pay for operation maintenance of parks with boating facilities, as is allowed in statute. And so the Boating Commission, I think, would like to discuss that issue and other issues of common interest with this Parks Commission.
So you all are willing to undertake that boating meetings? Okay, great. So everybody agree to that, I guess?
Yes.
Sure, perfect. Okay, so Commissioner Hart will now talk to us about climate change.
All right, since our last meeting in Sebastopol, I've been working on a very regular and consistent basis with Director Coleman on the issue of climate change, and particularly state parks and public lands adaptation to climate change. I'm also Michael Harris with staff has been very active, and I can tell you that we have taken great leaps and bounds forward on the issue. We're in the process of the final stages of inviting key top academics from the foundation world and also public land managers to a symposium that we have planned with University of California Berkeley Holt Hall School of Law with their Center on the Environment, which will occur in the middle of November. We're the commission is going to be discussing this issue in more detail on October 13th. We're also planning a presentation to the California Biodiversity Council. Also, Rick Rayburn has obviously been really active in this, our Chief Natural Resources. So I can tell you that this is something that State Parks is going to be a leader in the Resources Agency and in the state of California on this issue, and that is thanks to the director, who sees the great importance of this issue to our natural resource lands and to our cultural resources as well, which stand to really take a hit from climate change potentially. So we'll be discussing this more on the 13th, but I think you can all feel very encouraged that we're really facing this head on.
Do we have a date for the Bolt Hall thing in November?
November 15th is for the symposium in Berkeley.
Great. So
and October 13th is the time that we're going to have the workshop to talk about.
That's the State Parks Commission
State Park
meeting.
Commission.
October
yeah.
13th is the Parks Commission yeah. meeting. In November is the symposium at Bolt Hall, and those are both open to the public.
Yes.
Obviously. And how will we publicize that Bolt Hall matter?
We're still working with Bolt, and so we'll let you know as what we need. We're still working on getting the speakers lined up, and so once that's all settled, then we'll make more announcements. And the other thing I'll just say is in your binder under tab 2 is a memo that we sent to all staff that kind of articulates for the staff what we're doing in our climate change initiative, and then at the workshop we'll give you guys a lot more detail of what's going on within those different things. But just sort of gives you a sense of where we're heading.
Okay, I think it's important that be publicized as well. I think people will really attend that if we get that out.
I think the goal should be that we establish on our website a climate change tab, mm-hmm. you know, or a climate change
yes.
section, that we talk about all of our various initiatives so the public can easily see what are we doing, what are our plans. So I think that that's something we could do.
Okay, terrific. 2B, we're going to do the retiring employees, which for some reason are not on my tab, but I see Commissioner Sherman have them right open to her tab.
They're at the very last.
Oh, they
last
are.
Page.
Okay, great. Well, Commissioner Couch, would you like to do those?
Yes, and I'd be very pleased to read the list of the employees who are retiring this year. As we all know, these employees have given many, many years of service to the department, many hours that they were supposed to put in, and more hours of just hard work, overtime. I think for all of them, it's basically, you know, among other things, a labor of love, and we truly appreciate all the time that they've put in. The first one, Michael Bussard, Orange Coast District, 30 years, 7 months. Michael Koopman, North Coast Redwoods District, 10 years, 9 months. Pauline Grenbow, Museum Services, 28 years, 5 months. Gilbert McKinnon, Colorado Desert District, 6 years, 1 month. Linda Pastone, Northern Communication Center, 10 years, 9 months. Aline Pope, Sierra Nevada Conservancy, 23 years, 8 months. Perkopile, Capital District, 8 years, 11 months. Steve. Thank you. Steve Radosevich, Grants and Local Services, 20 years, 10 months. Sam, I can do this one, Rich Jr., North Coast Redwoods District, Diana Taylor, Business and Fiscal Services, 32 years, 3 months, Albert Vasquez, Main District, 20 years, 6 months, Laura Wagner, Business and Fiscal Services, 22 years, 7 months, William Walton Jr., Russian River District, 26 years, 7 months, Oscar Warner, Capital District, 11 years, 3 months, Wayne Woodruff, Planning Division, 32 years, 2 months, Tom Wunder, Contracts and Assessment Manager, 22 years, 11 months, and Sam Yamamuchi, Off-Highway Vehicle Division, 30 years, 7 months. And I didn't have time to add that up, but it's many, many years of dedicated services, so our thanks to these people.
Amen. Terrific. I would just say personally that Wayne Woodruff, who worked with most of us, was a terrific guy.
Yeah.
And we did a terrific job for the commission and I think for the public in presenting things in a very clear way. So item number 3, Mr. Chairman, would you like to do the grant with the growth?
Thank you, Chairman Schreiber. Approval of special Redwood Grove request for August the 24th, 2007, which is today. It says, whereas it has been requested that the State Park and Recreation Commission approve the establishment of the following special Redwood groves in the California State Park System units specified, and whereas establishment of these groves is made possible through the generous donation of the individual or individuals named in just a moment here. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the California State Park and Recreation Commission hereby approves the establishment of the following groves and gratefully acknowledges these generous donations. And as requested by Save the Redwoods League, is a Shirley and Farrell Shell Family Grove in Navarro River Redwood State Park. And Mr. and Mrs. Farrell Shell are the donors. As requested by the Semper, how do you say that word? I thought it was a Marine. I was going to say Semper Fi, but that's not it. Peachy and Herb Cummings Memorial Grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park. Rick and Roberta Cummings donors. Lori C. Duncan Memorial Grove in Butano State Park. Duncan family and friends donors. Roberta and Carol Matthews Memorial Grove in Butano State Park. Carol Matthews donor. Garrett and Muriel Weirs Memorial Grove in Butano State Park. Carol Matthews donor. Catherine Matthew Smith and John Christopher Matthews Memorial Grove in Butano State Park, Carol Matthews, donor. Circle of Circles, Mary and John Filsteiner in Castle Rock State Park, Mary and John Filsteiner, donors. Thank you. Jim, also known as Skip, Cadell Memorial Grove in Castle Rock State Park. It's the Cadell family and friends, donors. Joe R. Dreschler's Redwood Grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park. Bernadette Dreschler, family and friends, donors. Richard and Emmy Lou Levine, family grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park. Mr. Sidney Levine, donor. Gilliland Turner, family grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park. Mr. and Mrs. Clinton R. Gillian, donors. L. Leo and Ruth Taub Memorial Grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park, Ruth Taub Estate, donor. And Sierra Pacific Region Seroptimus Challenge Grove in Big Basin Redwood State Park, Sierra Pacific Region of Seroptimus International, donor. Sierra Pacific Region Seroptimus Grove, is that just X or is that a 10?
I think it's a 10.
I'm reading it as a 10, okay. In Big Basin Redwood State Park, as Sierra Pacific Region Seroptimus International Donor.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having that. These are, so everybody knows, a way for the Park Commission to raise a little bit of money for these areas. People donate these shows. That's why we do this. Thank you, Sophia. Ruth Coleman will give her director's report now. Item number 4. Commissioners under tab 4.
Yeah. Yeah, to direct you to tab 4, and there's a very extensive report of all the different activities that we've been doing. I want to thank Roy Stearns and his team for putting it together. It takes a lot of work, and I think they do a really nice job of laying out the photos and the stories. And so it gives you a really good sense of what we're doing. I also want to let you know that Chief Deputy Romero and I both think one of the things we'd like to do as sort of a process improvement is give you guys quarterly calendars so that you can see in advance
some of these special events, and so then we would ask you to read those and check your calendars, and if there's things that you're interested in attending, let us know, because we're sort of going along doing our thing and then think, gee, we should have invited the commissioners. And so I'd like to kind of try to institutionalize a way to make it a little bit easier so you guys can see if there's things that you're interested in that you'd like to participate in. We do have a lot of special events and ribbon cuttings that routinely occur and the extent to which you're available. It's always nice to have commissioners that come and then show your support. So I'm going to just use the balance of my time, and I'll be brief, is just to update you on budget because I don't have a lot to report. We don't know what the outcome of the budget will be. As our budget went through the process, State Parks was treated very well by both the administration and the legislature. As you know, we did lose deferred maintenance money that we'd had from the year before, but it's understandable given the condition of the budget. But our operating budget had remained intact. Having said that, there is an additional $700 million that needs to be cut, and then there's also $125 million unallocated cut. And so we don't know how those decisions will affect us, and we expect those decisions to be made in the next couple of days. So it really is coming right down to the wire where the governor will be doing his final vetoes, and then we'll find out what kind of impact it has on our budget. So as Seth, having gone through this before, we once had a $20 million budget cut back in 2002-03, so we're already sort of down there in the dumps. At that point, we raised our fees. So fee increases at this point are going to be, we have less opportunity for fee increases because we're kind of starting to hit that point at which if you raise fees any further, you actually lose revenue because people stop coming, and so the elasticity is increasing. Other kinds of reductions that we would take if we do receive a budget cut would be things like restricting equipment purchases, ongoing maintenance, temporary help, our seasonal staff, and then trying to keep some positions vacant longer, then you get savings that way. If the cut is big enough, then we have to start looking at really reducing hours in parks, and at some point, just depending on the magnitude of the cut, at some point you start looking at whether or not you actually need to close some parks. But we just have no idea of the magnitude, and so we can't really speculate on what we would do. But the order in which we take cuts is we do everything we can to try to keep parks open as long as we can. That's always our very last resort. And so we're hopeful that state parks will be spared, but we all have to be realistic that these are difficult budget times. And with that, I will conclude my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Ruth, my question is, when we're talking about cuts, you know, we don't have the money coming in, and in the event that we have to close parks or downsize them a little bit, you know, close some parts of the parks, what happens to our staff? What, you know, our rangers? Do we move them to other parks or...
Yeah, layoff process takes about 18 months. So when you need immediate savings, if you close one park, you would be moving people over. We actually have a lot of vacancies because, as you just saw, there's a lot of retirements. And also state government does not pay as well as local government, so we lose a lot of people to local government. And so it's actually hard for us to fill existing positions. So what you do is move people into vacant positions. So the cut would have to be pretty draconian to get to the point where we're actually going into layoff mode.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner?
Yeah, I would like, and maybe you already published it, to see a list of maybe the annual acquisitions of the state park, either by purchase or donation or whatever. I think it would be very interesting to see an itemized list.
Sure. Last year we bought about 1,300 acres. State parks purchased about 1,300 acres on a base of 1,005,000 acres. But occasionally we receive lands. For example, Fort Ord coming up, we'll receive, and that's a very large piece of real estate. We're actually not buying it. The federal government's giving it to us. And the good news on that one is we already have staffing that was given to us, although we might lose that. We just don't know. It's a really interesting issue because we're a department that uses seventh generation as our guiding principle, and so we're trying to think seven generations ahead. So the trick is how do you make decisions that will affect seven generations ahead on things like should we purchase land and acquire this and preserve it, when we don't have in the foreseeable future the means to be able to manage it. And that's always a very, very difficult public policy debate. I go back to the days of the Great Depression when actually Point Lobos was purchased then. And there was no way the department had money to manage Point Lobos at that time. In fact, one of the largest acquisition timeframes in the state's history was during the Great Depression. Land was cheap and a bondage was passed. And those lands, by and large, did not get opened or used particularly developed until more maybe the 30s and 40s, even to the 50s. But aren't we glad that Point Lobos is there for us today? So that's really a difficult challenge of, do we use bond dollars buy land if we know we can't manage it? And that certainly came up yesterday on the whole Harmony property.
Right.
Yeah. Is where's that balance of preserving for the future and yet the reality of today's budget being so bleak? That we absolutely, we maintain those logs, and I'll on a routine basis give you a list of acquisitions.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this? I just ask quickly a question, Ruth, whether in conjunction with the budget process, are you doing scenarios where you would close particular parks? I'm assuming you've done those kinds of scenarios, and if you feel comfortable, I don't know whether you do or not, suggesting what some of those might be. I think it's interesting for the public to know. But you might not feel comfortable.
I feel comfortable? No.
Since we represent the
since
we represent the public, and whether certain parks might be closed might be an issue in the negotiation with the administration on the budget, it might be useful to know in the scenarios you're developing.
We have developed closure scenarios in the past and submitted those before. Once Governor Davis had proposed a very large cut, and we submitted a closure list based on that. And based on that closure list, they reduced the cut substantially so that we didn't have to close. So what I can tell you is the methodology. I'd rather not get into the names.
What was
the
in the Governor Davis closure list?
It would be the same list we have today, so I'll give you the methodology, which is
that was
avoid.
Kind of the point. You didn't have to say
I'm
that.
I'm not going to give you the names of parks. It's going to be on all of there.
The Davis names.
No.
You would have known.
Yeah, the methodology is the same, is that you look at parks that have the largest gap between revenues and expenditures. So a place like Hearst Castle that virtually breaks even is not something you'd put on the closure list because you don't make any big savings.
I'm glad the people here are happy to hear
that. Hearst Castle,
Hearst Castle will not be closed, ladies and gentlemen.
And our urban
what
beaches.
What happened at the Parks Commission meeting?
Our urban beaches, like Huntington State Beach, they have tremendous source of revenue, and so you wouldn't close parks that have large sources of revenues. The parks that are the most vulnerable are the historic parks, which have a very high expense and a fairly low revenue level. I mean, we don't charge a lot for entrance to those parks, and yet the cost of maintaining historic buildings is very high. Museums also tend to fall pretty high up, again, because you can close the doors and lock them and then make the savings. Places like Sonoma Beaches, there's no way to block them. You can't keep the public from them, so the state is liable no matter what. So places where you physically can't close off the area, those tend not to go onto the list. So you're really looking for places that physically you could reasonably actually exclude the public so that the state is not held liable, and that have the largest gap between revenues and expenditures.
So those would tend to be museums.
Museums.
So buildings with doors and
yeah,
so forth.
Museums, and because, you know, we don't charge that much for the entrance to the museums, and yet the costs are fairly high to run them. And a lot of those museums have tremendous amount of private support, but it's still a pretty big expense of public dollars. Mm-hmm. And then historic sites.
Can I just make a point? Oh, sorry.
Predicated on their what they bring in. In other words, if one has the less amount of traffic through it, would that go on priority of being closed?
Yeah, because the less traffic would reflect a lower revenue rate. I mean, we could also look at increasing the fees, but that usually then affects your revenue rate.
That also doesn't increase the traffic, you think?
It can decrease the traffic usually. Yeah. I mean, like, we found that at Hearst Castle when we reduced our fees in 2000, the visitation went up, and when we increased the fees in 2002, visitation did drop. I mean, it was sensitive to the price.
Commissioner Hart?
Yeah, I just think that it's worth noting that since the historic parks and museums that would be potentially the first to take the hit if parks budget is reduced, while at the same time the governor and now the Parks Commission has now adopted the Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights, where number one on the Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights is Discover California's Past. If we're forced to close the museums and historic locations that allow children to do that in this state, you can see it's pretty much directly inconsistent with which we just adopted. So I think it's very important for the public to support keeping parks budget at least at the level it is today so that we can avoid these kinds of impacts on children and everyone in California.
Thank you. Any other comments on this question?
And I just want to make sure the public understands we have no sense that there's a cut of a magnitude that would require us to do these kinds of closures we've been talking about hypothetically. So.
Right. I hear that. And on the other hand, the public knows that there are going to be cuts in the discretionary parts of the state budget, which have not yet been announced, which could cause this. So local support from the Assembly and senatorial folks in this district and elsewhere is very important to your ability to hold on to your budget. Okay. Item number five is, excuse me, I failed. Thank you, Lewis, for reminding me to ask for approval of the minutes, which was item number one on the agenda.
So moved.
Has everybody read the minutes and find them to be okay? So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor of that? Or
aye.
Aye. No one is opposed, so the minutes are adopted as written. So the public hearing, which is why you all are here. Thank you for waiting through this. the first item of the public hearing is the consideration and action on the department's recommendation to classify and name the properties known as Estero Bluffs at Harmony Coast. And we have a staff presentation on this.
Commissioners, in the year 2000, the department received title to 355 acres of about 3.5 miles of coastline in San Luis Obispo County. At this point before you is the naming and the classification of this unit. They've had a public meeting locally to review the classification and naming, and what came out of that is what we are recommending to you today, and that is to name the unit Estero Bluffs and to classify it State Park. So in naming and classifying this particular unit, it would bring the state park system up to 279 units.
Thank you very much. Any questions, staff? Okay, thank you, Rick. Lewis, I assume we have no speakers on this since you haven't handed me any chits. We do have someone is raising their hand. Oh, we do have some speakers. Okay, so now we come to the point where speakers come. Great, we have several speakers. The rules on this is I call a couple of names. We line up. You have 3 minutes to speak. There's a little device up there that shows green, yellow, and red. When the red comes up, your time is up, and we enforce that pretty rigorously for the obvious reason that if we didn't, we would be here a very, very long time. So we're thrilled that you're here to speak, and please try to keep to the 3 minutes. The first speaker is Bill Martoni, then Dr. John Parker, then John Thompson, and some others who I'll call out later. Yeah. Mr. Martoni?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm Bill Martoni. From Morro Bay, live about a block or two up the road. I mainly wanted to talk about the naming. I wasn't aware that the naming of the probably the Harmony Headlands would be the most one that would be a little more important. Just a little brief history. We own China Point Ranch, was right in this area. It's a very rich history with the Chinese seaweed pickers. Hao Wong, Big Jim, the Lums. And when I heard the name Harmony Headlands, I just read it. To me, it sounded almost like Nature Valley granola or, you know, like a cemetery. And the reason I was bringing up the history is there's Chinese that were never honored in this area. They were unique people that had a history that I think maybe you should consider something that would relate to the Chinese. There's China Harbor, China Cove, China Point. And Hao Wong was the very last seaweed picker in this area. My wife and I brought in the last harvest with him. There was an article written about this area by Dolores Young. And the reason I bring this up was the Chinese actually were not allowed to own land here at the time. They had to squat. But they were able to make a living. They were in harmony with their neighbors. And in fact, we've been in some recent problems. Some of these areas that are now in state park, rules and regulations actually squeezed some of the farmers and the ranchers off this land. But really what I'm talking about is the naming here, and I'd like to see if maybe it's too far beyond the curve. But this Harmony Headlands, I believe, was the old Soto Ranch. And this is a family that came up from Mexico with the De Anza expedition. And so I would say maybe there should be more input and think about a possible name that would be fitting for this area that may be more fitting. It's like Estero Bay. You're talking Estero Bluffs. This is Spanglish. You're talking a Spanish name and English name. Estero Bay itself means literally Bay Bay. Estero is an estuary or bay, and Estero Bluffs the same way. I don't say it's not an appropriate name, but I think maybe more thought for the Chinese history in that. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You're welcome to give that history to the clerk if you'd like it to be in the formal record.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Okay. That's a picture of you harvesting seaweed.
Right.
Okay. Dr. Parker, and then Mr. Thompson, then Roger Lyons, then Dwayne Waddell. If I mangle anybody's name, I apologize.
Good morning, commissioners, and welcome to my town, Morro Bay. I hope you had a good visit yesterday, walking through the parks and enjoying the scenery. My name's John Parker. I'm a registered professional archaeologist, and I have some concerns about the state park classification for the Estero Bluffs property. The name isn't as much of a concern for me. The Estero Bluffs is home to thousands of native plant and animal species that are found in very few other places on California's coast. Also, the Estero Bluffs contains many archaeological sites and Chinese sites from the history of California that need to be protected and preserved. One of the reasons for the Estero Bluffs becoming a state park is to preserve these resources. As a state park, classified as a state park, means that these resources can actually be destroyed and disturbed for the construction of parking lots, restrooms, camping facilities, that sort of thing. The areas of critical resources within the Estero Bluffs park area need to be set aside as either natural or cultural preserves. Now, whether the whole Estero Bluffs is classified as a natural historical preserve, you know, is up to the commissions, up to the parks. However, those resources within that park unit are critical resources and need to be preserved and protected for the enjoyment of future generations of Californians, and should be protected either by classifying the whole park as a natural cultural preserve, or at least those areas of critical resources as natural cultural preserves. We were talking a little bit earlier about how climate change is going to affect us all. Climate change specifically is going to affect cultural resources because most archaeological sites are right on the coastal bluff. Sea level changes are going to affect these resources. The people that created these resources survived thousands of years of climate change, and the information contained in those sites can be used to help us deal with how we're going to deal with the climate change. So not only are these resources important from a historical perspective, but they're also very important from a perspective of today's culture and what we're dealing with today's climate change. I would strongly urge that the state park be classified as a natural cultural preserve, or at least those areas of the park that contain those resources have special overlays of natural cultural preserves. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Mr. Thompson.
My name is John Thompson. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I just like to request that the commission, when they name the park, recognize the Chinese history of the area and the importance that the farmers had in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Lyon. Then Dwayne Waddell, Betty Winhoes, Bruce Gibson.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Roger Lyon. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Cayucas Land Conservancy and here to support the naming and classification of Estero Bluffs State Park. First of all, I appreciate the commission coming to the Central Coast and witnessing firsthand the spectacular additions to the state park system that you have here. I think it's pretty wonderful. I think you've seen some of it. The Cayucas Land Conservancy is in a somewhat unique situation. They hold the conservation easement, which is a permanent recorded document on the Estero Bluffs property. We've been in existence since the year 2000 and received the easement from the Trust for Public Lands, which brokered putting this spectacular acquisition together. It's a somewhat unique and strong local public partnership, and I think it serves as a model to see the efforts of the local folks and the Conservancy serving as a liaison with the local community, working with state parks. You were talking earlier about budget constraints, and I think it's by giving some sharing of responsibility and management to locals, you'll receive powerful economic and resource protection benefits from doing that. We have worked closely and I think have a very strong working relationship with state parks. We meet every other month and we discuss the issues. We would then take that back and network with the local community. And part of that process has been the naming and classification. Our easement has a strong resource protection element, and cultural resource protection is specifically mentioned in that. And we're cognizant of that, and we had the discussion as far as the various classifications as to whether or not state parks, a state park classification would protect that. And what we came to was, coupled with the easement that has strong protections in it, as well as the ability within a state park, and I think your staff can amplify on this better than and explain it better than I can, there are abilities to take different segments of that state park and put additional restrictions. In the Via Creek area as an example that has closures and that sort of thing for protection of the snowy plover habitat there. So we started off originally thinking that the state reserve was closer probably to the limitations in the easement, but that precluded some uses that seemed to be evolving on some of the areas of the park, allowing dogs on leash as well as bicycle use might be better served as having the broader form of state park. So I'm here to urge support of the naming and classification as recommended by staff.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Yes.
So you studied the question that the prior speaker raised about the classification, and you're
absolutely
comfortable with the state park designation, and you believe that the historic sites that he referred to can be protected under that classification.
I'm very comfortable with that, and I think the added protection of having a watchdog of the local land trust that's there, which has a recorded enforceable easement, adds to that protection. And it's we started off, I think, probably closer to the prior speaker as far as having more protection in there, and in this working relationship with state parks came to a better understanding that we can have the best of both worlds.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions, gentlemen? Thank you very much, Mr. Lyon. Dwayne Waddell.
My name is Dwayne Waddell, and I too was a founding member of the Cayugas Land Conservancy, and I own a ranch that's directly across from the park, the Swallow Creek Ranch. And I would like to back up what Dr. Parker had to say, and I think before there's any official designation here, that those areas should be defined and incorporated in some sort of a contract that would tell us exactly how it's going to be managed and how that's going to be handled. I have another thing I'm concerned about is the wildlife on the park. The northern end of the park is a plover habitat. Swallow Creek, that's the name of my ranch, we have red-legged frogs, and they come right down into the park in that area there too. So I think it's really important to take all this into consideration and maintain a tread lightly use of the park. As far as the name goes, I would like to see some sort of name that enforces that use. Palua Keys is a Chumash elder that's no longer in the area, and she had suggested that a name that I like very much was Tekulati, and it means shorebird. It's a Chumash word. And so I think if we give the park a special identity, unique to its own character, that we have something special here that people can really enjoy and recognize. Thank you.
Thank you. Betty Winholtz, followed by Bruce Gibson, Bill Martoni, Barry Bartulski. Ms. Winholtz.
Would you clarify for me if you want comments on both the Sterra Bluffs and the Harmony right now, because that hasn't been presented yet?
Yes. No, we're as a technical matter, thank you for that question, we're on the Sterra Bluffs bit now.
Only.
Excuse me, let me just double-check that. Both. Yes, we're on both of them. Excuse me, they're both here.
Okay, second comment.
That's a good question.
Thank you. I
Well, it says here on the agenda item, it's agendized as both together. So let's take comments on both of them now. It's no problem.
Both
thank
at the same
you.
Time. Okay, thank you. I too, would like to, I don't think it's a middle ground, but I would like to back up what Dr. Parker also said in terms of maybe suggesting that you direct staff to open discussions or have your staff open discussions with the Conservancy to identify some of those special areas that can be designated as reserves. I spoke with the Salinan tribe member today, this morning. A lot of them can't be here because of your timing. Many people are working right now. And their concern was with some of the Native American sites as well as some of the cultural sites with the stalactites and other places. And I would suggest, just like the Heron Rookery next door, which is a reserve which within the state park, that you could do that here as well. Go ahead and make it a state park, but certainly begin the discussion of where can we put reserves and protect these very special areas, some of which most of us in the public aren't aware of because they're that special. And I don't know if you're aware of them either. So that would be my first point on Sterra Bluffs. My second point is that there are a few clumps of eucalyptus in that area, and you probably saw them yesterday on the walk, and just encourage you to let them stay there for the habitat that they are and the shade that they provide for the animals that are there. With regard to Sea West Ranch, I also had a call from a member of the community of Cambria who was instrumental in helping the American Land Conservancy in terms of identifying that property and bringing it to the attention of state parks. And his name is Doug Buckmaster, and he's a long-time resident here. He is concerned about two things. One, the name as well. The term Harmony Coast, I think, is the one that rubs on us because it's not been the traditional name. Certainly since the development of the last couple of decades, Sea West Ranch is the more traditional name. And certainly the information that the public has brought to you today about the Chinese farmers of farming the seaweed is very significant as well. And I think we would see that is a viable option as well. But I think we're saying, please don't call it Harmony. In regard to it not being opened and the comments that were made yesterday of why it can't be open, which were mostly economic, I would like to suggest to you that when the elephant seals hit our beach about 5 years ago, up just north of San Simeon, that State Parks stepped in without having budgeted money, got docents, trained them, put in a boardwalk, and protected those animals. I think that you will find in this community human resources that are willing to go in, help make that place amenable for traffic, provide docents if that's what you want, help build a boardwalk or a pathway. But I think you need to understand that we want this place open. It was used.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. We do have to stick to the three-minute thing. Thank you very much. Bruce Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bruce Gibson. I'm the county supervisor for the 2nd District, which I'm proud to say includes all three of the North Coast park designations and namings that you are considering this morning. I stand in support of your staff's recommendation on all three. I probably won't be able to stay for the Hearst Ranch. I'd like to speak specifically to Estero Bluffs. It turns out that my first foray into public issues in this county involved the conservation of the Estero Bluffs area, and it was through a very strong community consensus that that land is conserved and not developed. That consensus carries through to the unique situation we have with the conservation easement that is held by the Cayucas Land Conservancy. And as a former board member, I was former in that I was forced to resign to take on my current gig, or I chose to resign to take on my current position. I know that we have formed a unique working relationship with your local staff, and I can't say enough about efforts of Nick Franco and the superintendents who have preceded him to manage a piece of property that is unique in many ways. You've heard speakers talk about the variety of resources. I can also speak to the importance of the scenic resource and the simple open space resource that is there. The Cayucas Land Conservancy and the department work together as co-managers of this area under an interim use plan, under a baseline inventory that was part of the conservation easement process. And through those two documents, we have actually identified many of the numerous resources that are worthy of protection there. I think it speaks to a new way of doing things in this public-private partnership that we are able to manage the competing interests that are the hallmark of the Department of Parks and Recreation's mission, which is both public access and resource protection. And I think the activities at Via Creek, where we have a tremendously productive snowy plover nesting area that has not been completely closed, we've used education and careful physical barriers to really allow the best of both worlds to happen, public access and resource protection. As to the naming of Estero Bluffs, it has long been in the lexicon of our district that both the geography of those bluffs and their proximity to Estero Bay have caused them to be referenced there. I think the name is completely appropriate. Let me end by saying I appreciate very much your efforts to be here to hold this hearing in our county, and thank you much for your consideration.
Can I just ask you one question? I think I understood your comments correctly. You favor the state park classification.
Yes.
You don't feel that there should be a preserve or a more restrictive classification. Is that correct?
You know, I'll follow on from my friend Roger Lyon's comments that, yes, that within that designation, we can do significant resource protection as well as provide access.
And you favor this name,
yes.
So you're an elected official.
Sure.
That's important, I think, the commission to know that you and your representation of the people in the district feel that way.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bill Martoni.
I've already spoken before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Barry Bartulski.
Good morning, commissioners. First of all, my name is Barry Bartulski. I'm a resident of Cayucas, and I would like to thank you all personally for your dedication and the personal time you take in supporting the park system. Next, I would like to thank the park employees themselves for their dedication, the wonderful way they preserve our parks, and the future expansion. The future expansion is necessary to support the governor's new Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. So I would encourage the public to write their representatives in Sacramento to encourage him not to cut the budget, but to improve the budget and allocate more funds for the park system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bartulski. That concludes the chits that we have here. Technically, the matter is now before the commission. Would staff like to clarify any matters before the commission discusses this?
I heard three real concerns. The first being the idea of by three speakers, would we be able to protect the cultural and some of the natural resources on the property through a preserve? And the idea is, and the answer is yes, we will definitely. The park classification is the overall unit classification between now and the general plan, or maybe even with the general plan, a specific subclassification like a cultural preserve for that rich archaeological area would be reviewed and very possibly brought to you for a classification of a cultural preserve. So that we will be looking at that, and we take that very seriously. But today is not the day to change the classification for the whole unit to, say, a cultural state reserve because of its natural resource values. The state park takes classification takes into account both natural and cultural values themselves and providing their protection. The second was on recognition related to Harmony, not Coast. The Harmony property is recommended for Harmony Headlands, reflecting that geographic feature. The principles of naming that we presented to the commission a number of months ago suggest that names that reflect common usage over time are probably the most appropriate. And those that gets to the point of should this be called Sea West or should it be called the Harmony Headlands property. Harmony was a small a dairy town dating back to the early 1900s. It served much of this geographic area, and that is why it's commonly referred to as the Harmony Coast. The Sea West name came up more recently as it related to some of the development in this particular area. So the long-term nature of the Harmony Coast as it applies to that Harmony Headland, seems to be most appropriate from the principles of naming. And while it is very important to state parks to interpret the Chinese culture and history of use of this particular property, that was but a certain period in time, but it didn't stretch to the point where it was well recognized over decades, if not even longer than that. And we really would want to see that honored in the form of on-site interpretation, possibly naming a particular area on the park for that activity. But it really is not well known in terms of a name for that property, as is the Native American name that was suggested, which is not in common usage over the longer period of time. So those are just some brief comments to the public input on the staff recommendation.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, we have a late chit, which under the rules we can hear if it's a sensitive commission. Everybody okay to hear Mr. John, or excuse me, is this Jane? I think it's Jane Van Cone for 3 minutes, Ms. Van Cone. Probably mangled that name.
Good morning. This is the request of Betty Windhouse to finish her 3 minutes. She was over 3 minutes, so she had asked me to read the rest of this, just a very short paragraph. At Mrs. Windhouse's request, I would like to correct what she said about the elephant seals. It was done with locals only in conjunction with the Hearst Foundation, but the interest is the same. Locals can work to be responsible to preserve the local resources. Those were her words. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that clarification. So the matters before the commission, comments and
Chair, can we split the possible naming? We have one action to accept both these names. Should we have one that...
I think under the rules, provided they're both noticed in a proper way, we could act separately on them, even though they're noticed as one item. So I appreciate that clarification. Why don't we discuss the Harmony Coast item first, and then we'll discuss the Estero Bluffs item second. Is that all right with everybody?
That was my suggestion.
Okay, terrific. So on the Harmony Coast matter, which I guess is a naming matter. I think it's important that
Harmony Headlands.
Excuse me, Harmony Headlands, right, that the public understand that these naming things are not the general plan. The general plan will come later, and everybody knows that. Okay, fine. Okay, do we have any comments on this? Yes, Commissioner Hart.
I have a comment, not so much on the name, because I have to say that this goes through a public hearing process. The name evolves out of that, and we arrive on the scene the day before, you know, having read the report. And, I highly value the public process, and I feel that if the public process resulted in the name of Harmony Headlands, and also based on what Mr. Rayburn just said, that, you know, I feel supportive of that. However, I do have a question, Mr. Lyon, with regard to access to the property, which I think is a much more pressing issue, actually. And, you know, I discussed with you yesterday the idea of the Cayucas Land Conservancy potentially assisting with public access. We were just up in Sonoma County where an organization, which I actually founded called Land Paths, assists state parks by operating, you know, by issuing permits for the Willow Creek property and providing public access through that process. So you and I discussed the potential of the Cayucas Land Conservancy potentially playing that sort of role to assist state parks in providing at least some kind of public access to the Cayucas, Harmony Headlands property. Yeah. So I was wondering if you could address that just briefly, if that's all right with the commission.
Yeah, I'm one member of our board, but we have had discussions at our board, and I think that there'd be strong interest in partnering, whatever you want to call it, as far as assisting, and I think the organization that you have so successfully done on a broader statewide basis, we would look to as far as assistance. But yeah, we would like to do that, just as we have done, I think, very successfully on Estero Bluffs.
Well,
so
that's
yes.
Great. Okay. Well, that, and we'd be more than happy to provide you with any information and connections. Thanks very much. That was my main question.
Anybody else on Harmony on the naming matter?
I may just comment. I think Commissioner Hart is spot on. It's an issue of access and use of this unit, and as Commissioner Eastwood brought up yesterday, we're going to acquire parks. We want to give access to the public. However, this forum is to vet things like names.
Well, right now the naming issue is in front of us. We could give direction to staff after we name it that we would like this partnership explored and they give a high priority to access. But right now, just let's address the. Does anybody have any comments on the name? Let's adopt the name if we don't.
If we don't adopt the name.
It seems like the name from an outsider of the community. I think it should be a name that, that has enthusiasm within the community here, but maybe I'm a hopeless romantic, but Harmony Coast sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
It's E-Harmony Coast. Anyway.
E-Harmony Coast.
Oh, E-Harmony
Coast. Shall we take that, we'll treat that as a motion? Or is there further commentary on this naming matter? Okay, so I'll treat that as a motion, and we'll have Commissioner Katz second it. So all in favor of this name?
Aye.
Is anyone opposed to that? So it is named Harmony Coast.
No. Harmony Headlands.
Excuse me, Harmony Headlands. Sorry. I'm still in E-Harmony. Anyway.
I like
you wish.
That's cool. Commissioner Bayless, do we want to have a direction to staff to explore this potential partnership with the land trust and the board if they are move in an expeditious way to give access to this property? We learned yesterday, I think, that we've held the property for 4 years. Is that correct? And there has been no access to it from the public. So I think it's a strong sense of the commission that any reasonable activities that could be undertaken with local support that would enable that park to be opened ASAP would be a very good idea. And we'd like you to come back to us also ASAP with suggestions or plan to involve the local folks in a plan for opening that park. Yes, Mr. Gordon.
Just a clarification. Is the motion for naming, is that in accordance with the draft resolution that is the last page behind at tab 5A, classification and naming of Harmony Coast /
I assume so. So
yes.
It's both the classification. Thank you for clarifying that. It's both the club. So the motion, Commissioner Eastwood's motion and second was for both the classification and the naming.
Right.
Is that correct? Is everybody? Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
Correct.
So that's that. On the staff direction, I see Director Coleman writing these things down, and I see Roger nodding his head. So some kind of working.
He's tired.
We had a lot of coffee today, so we're. Okay, so now we'll move off to Estero Bluffs, which is, the naming and classification point. Commissioners, that's in front of us. Anybody have any comments on this?
No, Bobby.
Commissioner Witt.
I would just like to assure the public that Parks, and especially the park staff, zealously guards its resources, archaeological, cultural, historical, that this classification in no way endangers those areas that were discussed. They will be honored, they will be protected, and they will be a source of both visitation and education. The state parks classification does not lessen our determination to protect those resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing someone like to move the the naming? Thank you, Commissioner Sherman.
If I may point out that you do have a draft resolution.
To adopt the resolution as drafted, which includes the naming and the classification. Right. Okay, so it's moved and seconded. Thank you, Commissioner Witt. Everybody in favor of this?
Aye.
And no one is opposed, so that's adopted. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move now to item 5B, which relates to the Hearst property, and we'll have a quick staff report.
Commissioner, this action would reclassify William Randolph Hearst Memorial State Beach to a state park and then merge it into the existing San Simeon State Park on the northern San Luis Obispo coast. And this would then, your previous action brought the state park system up to 280 units, and this would drop it down to 279.
So it's a consolidation.
Right. It's a consolidation.
Thank you very much. We have two members of the public speaking on this item, Dr. Parker and Ms. Winholtz. So, Dr. Parker, you're first. And anybody else who's here who wants to speak on this item, please give a chit to Mr. Nastro right over here.
Again, Dr. John Parker, registered professional archaeologist. 32 years ago, I nominated 40 archaeological sites to the National Register of Historic Places at the south end of Clear Lake. 30 years ago, I came before this commission and asked the State Park Commission to consider those sites as a new state park. After 5 years of lobbying, we were able to get the funding out of the legislature to purchase those sites and preserve them as a new state historic park. Both the San Simeon and Hearst State Beach statements of purpose say, quote, the state park system will preserve and protect cultural resources. Yet 13 years ago, at the Hearst Memorial State Beach, I witnessed the destruction of a portion of archaeological site SLO 361 as the Hearst State Park District installed underground sprinkling systems. 361 is a village site inhabited 3,000 to 5,000 years ago by the Chumash. It takes up about half of the Hearst State Beach dry land area. The work putting in the sprinkling system was done in violation of the California Environmental Quality Act and even went against requirements sent to the district in letter form from State Park headquarters in Sacramento. The economic value of the damage done in today's dollars, about $300,000. I agree with the transfer of the Hearst State Beach to the San Simeon State Park district, and I have no problem with the change in the designation. However, I urgently request that a stipulation be placed in the park general plan and specific plan that no further excavation or disturbance take place within this archaeological site. Unfortunately, state park districts don't always hold the same high esteem of cultural resources as you do. And that's the reason why special preserve status needs to be put on these resources. I had to stand by with my hands tied behind my back and watch as a trenching machine did $300,000 of damage to the Indian village site at San Simeon Cove. If you were out there yesterday, you saw that beautiful green land for the picnic area. You were standing on a 3,000 to 5,000-year-old Indian village site. As we watched the trenchers go through, grinding bowls were flying out of the hole, spear points flying out of the holes, all done without any compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act or State Park's own rules and regulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Parker. Ms. Winholtz, and then Elizabeth Scott Graham.
Thank you again. I just want to say I agree also with the changing to a state park as a state beach, particularly in light of the definition that we were given yesterday, that a park is more protected than a state beach. But I would echo Dr. Parker's comments in terms of local protection isn't always as you prefer it to be or think that it's happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Winholtz. Ms. Scott Graham.
My name is Elizabeth Scott Graham, and I represent an organization called Hearst Ranch Conservation Now. We were very involved in trying to help bring that Hearst Ranch Conservation Project to fruition. And I guess I wanted to know if this is – I have no objection to being it being combined in the San Simeon Park jurisdiction, but I do think it should have the Hearst San Simeon State Park since – the Hearst donated this land, and Steve Hearst has been instrumental in making this happen, and it wouldn't have happened without the family, and I think it's a gross oversight not to include that name, and I think Hearst Ranch Conservation Now supports that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As you may know, that little of that discussion came up yesterday. Excuse me one second. I just want to make sure that I have all the members of the public comment who are here who have filed their chits. I believe I do, but I just want to make sure of that. Okay. So the public hearing on this item is closed, and now we can have the matter before the commission, and staff would like to clarify something.
Sure. With the naming, one of the actions that we're also proposing, which is a department action, is the retention of the name William Randolph Hearst Memorial Beach as the location name. So it's simply not having it as a separately classified unit. In addition, we commonly refer to the area that was formerly part of the Hearst Ranch that is now part of the state park system on the coast there as the Hearst Coast, and we would formally name that the Hearst Coast as part of that location as well. And we did have discussions with the Hearst Corporation regarding this as well, and they were satisfied with that.
Thank you. So the matter is before the commission. I have a comment on this, but I'm whole mind. Somebody else would like to go first.
Chair, could you clarify then what we're considering here?
Mr. Torgan is always the man to do that. I believe the correct thing would be the melding of these two units, the decreasing. We're going to have one administrative entity, and we're going to name, by doing that, the entire area that administrative entity. Is that correct?
No.
Thank you.
The action.
That's why I shouldn't do this.
Gotcha.
I was about to do something smart, and then I did something dumb. Okay.
One attorney to another.
There you go.
The actions are to incorporate William Randolph Hearst Memorial State Beach into San Simeon State Park.
Right.
And to rename the state beach William Randolph Hearst Memorial Beach.
And what is the
right.
whole park
so,
called now?
The whole park would still be San Simeon State Park.
So that is in a, yes. So the entire area is now San Simeon State Park.
Correct.
So that's a renaming of the entire area, which was in two names, and as an administrative entity, it's one entity now. That's correct, right?
Well, I mean, you have San Simeon State Park currently.
Right.
What is basically the state beach is being folded in, as it were,
there
to an existing state park. With an existing state park name.
There you go. Well,
so to
well
further, said. Is it possible today to change it to the Hearst San Simeon?
I think Rick should comment.
I'm fine to have Rick comment, but I think that's the question. And this was discussed
yesterday. That wouldn't be appropriate at this hearing because what's before you is not to rename San Simeon State Park. You could do that at your October meeting because you don't have to be in the local area to rename a particular park. To classify it, you do, but it's not on your agenda to rename San Simeon State Park. Again, you could do that in October.
Can I just ask, Rick?
With that being a part of putting on your agenda.
Right.
Not that they noticed.
I thought there was a problem also that Hearst, you know, the area that Hearst Castle is also Hearst Castle San Simeon State Historic Park, isn't it? And that you can't duplicate the name for the, I mean, can you address that? I discussed it with you yesterday. I thought that was sort of a major problem.
Well, it's one of the principles, and it's not like principles are etched in stone there for you all to consider. And one of them is avoid duplicative names for purposes of confusion. And that's probably something you'll want to talk about in October if you choose to rename the unit Hearst San Simeon State Park. But I feel like there's such a close relationship geographically and from a family land ownership standpoint between the two that in the future we're going to refer to one as the state park and the other as the monument or the castle. So that confusion, you know, isn't as great as like it is in Tahoe, where we have a number of Tahoe units and you go, which one's which? So it's one of those principles that in this particular case may not be as critical as otherwise thought.
So are you recommending we defer this and consider this?
Yeah, I don't think you can take action on renaming San Simeon. It's not on the agenda. So that has been publicly noticed.
We can approve the name. It's just as he pointed out.
Yeah.
We don't have to. We don't have to. We can address it right now. We don't have to defer it.
The only thing that's on the agenda that you really can address is the name as it relates to the 8 acre.
As it's listed right now.
Right. Right.
Well, it's my understanding that this really doesn't change much of anything as long as it stays William Randolph Hearst State Beach, but it does expedite the administration of the whole San Simeon Park.
That's right. The Memorial Beach name is not lost. That area will be referred to commonly, as will the Hearst Coast within that park unit.
And will there be signage in the park designating that beach as William Randolph Hearst Memorial State Beach?
Nick did tell me that they were planning on doing that for both the coast and the beach. So
we have not signed that additional property yet,
It's not an idle commitment. There would be a sign.
Yes, Hearst Coast, and then subordinate to that would be the identification of San Simeon State Park.
Mr. Chairman,
I have one comment.
Can you speak? Can I just point out one thing? I hope all the commissioners know that this is being webcast. I think for the first time this meeting is being webcast, so the audio is somewhat more important for this gentleman back here. So try to speak into the mic.
Okay, you know, when we were just talking about this whole issue, I think it's good for us to try to align the names that are most common that will help people find the parks. When we talked about earlier possible cuts, one of the things we talked about is usage. And I think a lot of the problems with our usage is our branding, our marketing. We need to make sure these names are common enough that people know, if I go to this area, I'm going to be able to see the following, which will assist our efforts in the looking at how to get more people out at the state parks.
Great. So just following up on that thought, I would like to suggest that with the commission's concurrence that we do agendize this for October, and that I think the vibe, if you will, of this sense is that the more we're able to use the Hearst name, which is a worldwide brand for this area, the better. I think it not only works from a branding point of view for the parks, but also I think it does recognize the Hearst family's hard work and the state's hard work, the Parks Department, and I think a lot of local folks here's hard work to make this really a historic transaction where this land became permanently protected happen in the last couple of years. Many people work very hard on that. So I do think some thought to the naming and marketing aspects of it could come up in October, so I hope that everyone at the commission supports agendizing that for October.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I'm happy with it the way it is.
So you're against agendizing it for October?
Yes. I'm for addressing it right now.
But your lawyer says you can't.
The lawyer here tells you can't do that. So anyway, okay. So
see
for what
October.
October 13th.
What we can do right now is to do the administrative matters as has been described in the resolution, which is attached here. So hearing no sort of further discussion on that point, are we prepared all to vote on that? So can we have a motion on item 5D?
Second.
Great. So moved and seconded. All of us in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Great. Nobody. Okay. That, I believe, there's some consent items that we were going to... yes, those are in public session. Okay. So we move to item 5C, which are two consent items relating to concessions on Santa Monica State Beach. So there's a we have a subcommittee of the commission that makes recommendations on these commission on these items. So, Commissioner Bayless, do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I did have it, but I would have to pull it off consent if my.
You'd like to take it off consent, right?
That's okay with a couple
okay.
questions.
So
on.
We'll remove it from consent and invite you then to make your comments or for staff to. Would you like to go first, or would you like staff?
You want to set up what this is, and then I'll just comment on it.
I'd actually prefer to have staff to do that. Yeah. Since,
sure, I'll
please
review that on behalf of our concession division. The items are at the request of the City of Santa Monica to authorize a bid for a concession operation in Santa Monica State Beach. We lease the beach to the city. The city is the operator. Their agreement will soon be expiring, and as part of that new agreement, they are asking to establish a bid process for a new concession at the beach that will provide for a cafe. And the second item in your request agenda is to allow for the sale of beer and wine as part of that concession. So this is at the bequest of the City of Santa Monica for your action.
And can I just clarify that? I believe it's for the city itself to operate the cafe within the new Annenberg beach facility, right?
That's correct.
So the city itself is the applicant to operate this cafe?
Correct. Whether they have a sub-concessionaire or operate it themselves, I do not know.
Right.
But that is correct.
I know. I think they're actually going to operate it themselves. Yeah. The city's going to operate the club, as I understand it.
The city, I believe also the city has taken action or will soon take action for the project to go out to bid.
To release of an RFP for a new concessionaire or the existing one?
Correct.
Okay. So here are my comments. I just want to first recognize how well staff and our partner, the City of Santa Monica, and the Annenberg Foundation have worked together. I think it's a great effort. But I want to ensure staff stay close to the project and monitoring it, following our policies and guidelines, and specifically with the RFP coming out, that we're noticed and involved, and when the blue ribbon ceremony is up, that State Parks has an opportunity to participate in this this new facility, and that we get invited to that.
You'll have to talk to the mayor about that.
Commissioner Bayless just directed staff to get him invited to the opening.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm looking for.
That's right. It's going to be a good party. As a Santa Monica official, I can assure you that we'll have a good party when that thing opens. Just so everybody knows, that land, which was a beach club, has been laying fallow for more than a decade. So the Annenberg family and the city and the state's focus on getting that done is in the city of Santa Monica a really big deal. It's going to be a public beach club, and we hope it'll be fantastic. And we appreciate.
Yeah, we can get more opportunities like the Annenbergs have given us. This is good for
us. Yes, so the family made an enormous contribution to enable that to happen, and it's a terrific public, private, state, local partnership. So, therefore, these concessions, I assume you removed the concessions as reported in the formal documents.
With Commissioner
Eastwood. You and Commissioner Eastwood. Okay, great. So everybody's in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one. Okay, terrific. So item 6 is the open public comment. In this item of the agenda, people are allowed to address the commission on unnoticed matters. We can't take any action on any of these matters. But you are allowed to tell us anything within the commission's jurisdiction. So I see quite a lot of these. So I just want to make sure that if people begin to speak about things that are not in the commission's jurisdiction, I'm going to ask you to either focus on something that is in our jurisdiction or to stop speaking, because it is not a forum for general speaking. It's only a forum for things that the commission could undertake to agendize and act on. And the commission has a specific jurisdiction. So that sounds like a lot of gobbledygook. What it really means is, if you're telling us about something that we have no power, authority, or to do anything about, you're wasting your own time and ours, so we don't want to do that if we can avoid it. Since there are quite a few of these, I think we'll go to our rule of 2 minutes per speaker rather than of 3 minutes per speaker, which is allowed under our rules when a certain number of speakers have signed up. So we'll go to that. Although in the case of the first speaker, who is an elected official, Assemblyman Sam Blakesley, we'll go to 3 minutes for him, which is a rule of the commission. And I'm sure that he will value that extra minute. Assemblyman Vikesley. Good morning.
You better use your full 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come in immediately. Thank you for coming to our community to speak on these important issues. I hadn't planned on coming until I saw comments in the paper this morning regarding the larger question of how you balance operating existing facilities with acquiring new potential opportunities to protect the coast and expand the park system. Having been deeply...
I think the gentleman would like you to speak into the mic. Right there. He's losing you. It's falling down. We can reset his time since I interrupted him. Okay. He hadn't said much anyway. But you run the coach very important.
I was going to say, on that basis, I could be here for a long time. I'm very passionate about state parks, been deeply involved. As you know, I serve in the legislature representing this particular valuable section of the coast. I also serve on the budget committee, specifically the one that deals with resources in state parks. I served 4 years in the executive committee on a cooperating association here to support nonprofit activities. And my wife, God love her and bless her, has worked very hard to assist with acquisitions, including the Hearst Ranch properties. So I have a great deal of passion, both personally and professionally. I want to speak to this question of how we balance our need to both to take care of our current inventory, but to think about the future. And what I would like to encourage is that we not lose sight of the fact that, yes, we are a household which needs to balance its budget, which I believe is a quote in the paper today. But remember, we're a household that's growing by 600,000 kids a year. We are expanding at a phenomenal pace. And if we do not have a vision for where we're going to take this state park system, which includes expanding opportunities for access by providing access to the best and most precious properties in the state of California, we will have gridlock and impact on our state parks, which means it'll be a resource for no one in the future. I would like to encourage this body to have the courage to lead, to have the vision of a future which will include acquisitions as they become available, understanding that when you build roads, when you build overpasses, when you build bridges, there is a timeline, there's a phasing, and that sometimes you take the opportunity to buy the property knowing full well that where there will be a period of time to acquire the funds. In close, I'd like to add this other comment. As the executive director, as the president of the cooperating association that served this community in the state parks, there was one year in particular when we stood up 50,000 volunteer hours in our state parks to help with docents and assist with the visitor experience. 50,000 free volunteer hours to the state of California, which represents over 25 full-time paid employees. And we serve that mission with passion. There are opportunities to, in fact, have the best of both worlds, which is taking care of your state parks by using the tremendous pool of volunteers, which I can speak personally, are ready to step up, given the opportunity to assist in the visitor experience, and using that precious capital that only you have to buy those properties, so we'll have a state park system for the future. I appreciate your taking a moment to hear my comments, and I just pray and hope that you'll remember that you're making decisions for the future which will affect all of our children and our grandchildren. Thank you.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
So one of the things that came up yesterday was that this park, Harmony, has been closed for more than 4 years because we lack $1 million to open it. And very nicely, some of the local folks said that they would try to work with the park staff to open it, in contributing the kinds of labor that you're talking about. But it's clear that some cash will be required. So since you're on the budget committee and since the park is here,
where do I
your
sign?
Thoughts on $1 million?
Where do I sign?
Yeah, great.
I'm a strong supporter. We'll continue to be.
I see. So you don't have a specific sort of vision for how to get that $1 million.
Well, let me give you an example. When I served in that capacity, we had a situation where a WorldCom was landing their trans-Pacific telecommunications cable right in the state parks. I sat down and spoke with Joe Meddy, who at the time was the superintendent of the park, and many of you know Joe Meddy well, and they had an offer on the table. I asked, because of my background, having worked for an oil company, to participate in the negotiations. I did. WorldCom didn't appreciate it. By the time the negotiations were completed, an extra $500,000 in cash was given to the state park system to help support their effort. I believe there are more opportunities to direct monies from private individuals, from corporations, from people volunteering their time, and ways in the state budget to achieve the mission, but we have to bring more people into the system and empower them to participate in those sorts of ways.
I think that's terrific. It was also pointed out yesterday, one person pointed out that it costs a lot of money just to stay in limbo. But I think you hit on the magic word, the best of both worlds. So if that can come about, that's fine. So when one philosophizes in front of the press, sometimes certain aspects of it become accentuated and some don't, you know. So, but that's...
He's apologizing for his comment in the paper.
Very elegant. But anyway, I like your thing about bringing in other people to donate money and help out.
Well, thank you. We appreciate all your generosity, your time, and your resources. You've been a true leader, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis Fox, then Eric Greening, then Gwen Taylor. Mr. Fox. If people could queue up, that expedites matters a little. So, Mr. Greening, if you could sort of be ready after Mr. Fox. Hand matters to our staff here. Thank you very much.
Over there.
Or over there. Mr. Mastro could take him for you. Thank you. Mr. Taylor, you'd be ready to go after Mr. Greening, and then Ms. Winholtz, and then Jerry Walsh. Mr. Fox, 2 minutes, sir.
Yes, how do you do, Mr. Chairman? I'm Dennis Fox, your favorite terrorist. I see you do have two agenda items on there concerning the Central Valley, even though you are making decisions about the Central Valley, though you are remaining on your coastal enclave. One has to do with Allensworth State Park. Glad to see you're finally getting on board on a 10-year-old lawsuit. And the other one has to do with the... your open space acquisitions in the Central Valley. And open space has always been very good, but sometimes it's not all that well. There are ramifications. Even Adolf's attempt at getting open space or Levensraw had little ramifications that weren't all that good, especially in Poland and Stalingrad. But you do use... Yeah, that one. The thing is that when you do get into using county resources, police, sheriffs, farms, sewers, and you do spread weeds throughout the county so it impacts the weed areas, you might want to think about paying taxes. You don't pay in new fees. You don't pay taxes. All other land areas do. Forest Service, Park Service, it would be a matter of equity. If you don't want to give it directly to the, you could specify, as Forest Service does, specifies it goes to roads and schools. You could specify it goes to parks and open space. That way the money wouldn't go from the county to you, and then you take your cut, and then it goes back. That's more or less about it, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bye. Fox. Eric Greening. Before you speak, Mr. Greening, I just wanted to ask the staff questions. I'm noticing that I think Mr. Fox is speaking to the visioning item in item 7 and item 8 that are on the agenda. So since we have the open public comment now, people may be speaking to item 7 and 8 because we haven't gotten to them yet. So to the extent any of these relate to item 7 or 8, we would like to hold this now. Public comment is for items, not items 7 or 8. So I hope members of the public understand that they will be allowed to speak on item 7 or 8 separately from the public comment section. So, sir, if you are going to address either one of those, you could wait. You will get a chance to do so. But I'm not sure that was adequately explained.
However, if they've already expressed it.
That's right. They will not be able to do it again. So maybe I don't know what you're going to speak about, but I just want you're on item what?
I'm on 6.
Right. Okay. Terrific.
And my name is Eric Greening. I live in Atascadero, and I'd first like to thank you for adopting the Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. I do call your attention to number 3 of what you have adopted, play in a safe place. A child was killed about a week ago at the Oceano Vehicle Recreation Area. It's not the first time children have been harmed there. You have now adopted this Children's Bill of Rights. I hope that causes you to take a fresh look at what goes on out there. We have a transaction that may be being negotiated right now that I hope you will get cold feet about and reconsider wanting to do, and that's the state intention to acquire the La Grande tract. It will be a huge headache if you do. With all due respect to my good friends in county government, it'll be more of a headache for you than it is for the county now, because a change in ownership brings a lot of responsibilities with it, such as surveying. It is Swiss cheese with inholdings. Do you know the location of those inholdings? Do you know who owns those inholdings? Do you know how many of the inholding owners are okay with what's currently happening around their unsurveyed boundaries and across their inholdings? Please reconsider taking on such a huge headache. You are 25 years late with the alternative access. We have the mouth of Arroyo Grande is steelhead habitat, tidewater goby habitat, and I guess with the remaining 22 seconds I have left, I would just like to say I had hoped there would be a status report on the habitat conservation plan for your units in most of this county. Not having heard one, I hope one is forthcoming soon so that the public knows when and how to react, including any final decisions on what species are in or out. Thank you.
Thank you. Just so you know, sir, the off-highway vehicle matter is not formally within our jurisdiction. Just so you know, that's a different commission, as I understand it, and no doubt you could ask them to come down and talk to them. Gwen Taylor. Sorry, commissioners, that I didn't clarify that earlier, but I did. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. And we have a jewel of a state park in Montaña de Oro. It is widely used, and it is very available to a community that has very little, if any, parks. Children are allowed to hike. Adults are allowed to hike. People can use the ocean. Kayakers can use the ocean. But we have a dramatic problem. We have beautiful trees, but we have an individual who is a developer that would like to destroy 395 eucalyptus trees on the property of the state for his own benefit, not just to see the ocean, as he does not claim, but also to use solar energy panels on his project. I am not a developer, but I am not stupid. And if you're going to build a $1 million home that you propose to use solar panels on, you would know you could use those solar panels without cutting down state park trees. A minor use permit was issued by the County of San Luis Obispo for this to be done. The state had best take a look at the destruction of public property trees for the benefit of a private developer. Please keep this in mind and address this to your park managers that this should not be allowed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. I assume the staff want to speak to that point.
I'm aware of the project, and as I understood it, the minor use permit was still going through the process. If I'm mistaken, then I'll follow up on that and see where that process
these
is.
These trees are on the state park?
These trees are on state park property, the removal of them is consistent with the general plan. What we have said to the property owner is that he needed to comply with CEQA, with the minor use permit, with the Coastal Act, and all those other permitting issues, and if he complies with all of those, then we would look at what that project description is and then make a decision on whether we would allow a right of entry.
That's not the problem. My property as well as yours.
Excuse me. We don't. Thank you for pointing that out. We don't have debate though ordinarily. So maybe you could give us a little informational item next time on how it is. I'm just interested myself. Trees that are on state property within the general plan could be cut down by, not by the state.
The only way is through a right of entry.
This property has a right of entry?
No, it doesn't. We could grant a right of entry to them to come onto State Park property to accomplish a project.
But if we do not grant the right of entry, he will not be able to cut down the state's trees on the state's property.
Absolutely correct.
I see. So I think before we were to grant that right of entry, someone might want to tell us why we think we might.
Would that be opening up a can of worms as to...
Very good question.
As to other people wanting to adjust state property for the benefit of their views?
It certainly could, and that would be one of our considerations as we would consider the project. We didn't feel it was appropriate for us to consider a project that hadn't gone through the permitting review, because obviously that's going to change the project.
Right.
So once he goes through that, we told him then he could bring that project description and we could evaluate that on whether that was still consistent with our general plan, whether that was something that we would entertain as a right of entry, and then we
would
consider those other issues.
Many people coming and wanting to adjust state property.
Yes.
In the report, I'd like to know how it is consistent with the general plan in your current view. Okay? Thanks. Ms. Winholtz, thank you for bringing that to our attention, Ms. Taylor. Ms. Winholtz, 2 minutes. Jerry Walsh after, then Sarah Christie, then Reverend Regal.
Thank you. I have an article from a local newspaper regarding eucalyptus and this very project that was talked about, as well as the issues here in Morro Bay State Park. I also have for you an article that was published in the Coastal Conservancy's recent magazine regarding the economics of state parks. It's in the Coast and Ocean magazine. Maybe you've already seen it, but I'll hand both of those over to you for your record. I'll make just some quick bullet points. One, thank you very much for encouraging staff or directing staff to open up Sea West Harmony Coast as quickly as possible with our help, and we look forward to doing that. Second, I already gave you the article. Third, I'm not sure how one defines public process in terms of naming items. I can't say that I was informed, or I haven't heard others say that they knew about when the discussion happened about naming different properties or when these things happen. And I don't know if we need to be looking in the little notice section at the back of a newspaper, but know that we were not, most of us, aware of that we had any say in naming properties. And so maybe we need to have a better dialogue with state parks about that. The last thing that I think I want to say is that I've been before you before, and I'm constantly concerned about the habitat here. And I often feel like the relationship with state parks and the local community it kind of goes underground, but it really hasn't mended yet. And I think an example of that was when you were walking at Sea West Ranch yesterday, and you saw those dead trees. And I don't know if you know that those were actually girdled and cut by state parks. And I brought that to your attention a couple of years ago. So whatever we can do to work together, I hope you will encourage local entities to work with local people, because we have the same goal, which is to preserve our resources. And we really want that to happen, and we want to be viable members of that and members that are allowed to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Winholtz. Jerry Walsh.
Jerry Walsh from Los Osos. I thank you all for coming to our beautiful area. I would like to give you just one piece of information of background on the gentleman that is trying to cut down the trees. He has worked for years and years finding loopholes in environmental laws and has been caught fraudulently changing EIR reports. I would like to ask you, as a preemptive request, this often comes up in Los Osos with the fear that you're going to put in a kiosk at Montana de Oro and charge admission. And I really would like to ask you not to even think of it in the future. We have just a postage stamp size park in our area, and recently it's been carved out into an $800,000 skateboard park, and more tennis courts. For those who can't play tennis or skateboard, our park is shrinking, and we consider Montana de Oro to be our local park. And our state, our county parks commissioner, in her desperation to try and get another park space, designed a sewer park around an industrial sewer plant that was to go in the center of town. This was to be paid for on the backs of the poorer people in Los Osos, because it was only going to be paid for by those in the prohibition zone. Everyone else was going to enjoy this park. So I just ask of you, please consider not charging admission to our local Montana de Oro State Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. Sarah Christie, to be followed by Reverend Ragel, and then Nancy Bast. You, Reverend Ragel? Okay, so you're ready to go. Great. Morning, Ms. Christie.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Sarah Christie. I am a San Luis Obispo County Planning Commissioner for District 5, whose boundaries start just at the top of this watershed and go to another spectacular area, Carrizo Plains. Like my assembly member, Sam Blakesley, I too changed my schedule this morning. I'm running late now for a regional energy conference. But when I read the front page story about your trip to Sea West Ranch yesterday, I felt compelled to come down and address you on the question of your acquisition policies. Yes. Your agency has a long and proud history of taking advantage of opportunities to secure spectacular pieces of property when those opportunities arise, regardless of whether or not you have the funds on hand to do the improvements required to open them for public access. I want to assure you that eventually, over time, those resources do appear. Administrations change, legislatures change, economics change, but the public support for parks remains consistent. Here in San Luis Obispo County, we just earlier this year adopted our first park and recreation element in our general plan, and it was a long process. It took many years, but the public support for parks in this region of the Central Coast grew steadily and tremendously through that process. I want to assure you that it is wide and deep. The idea that a state agency would decline to purchase a piece of property like the Sea West Ranch and instead allow it to be developed for private profit and be forever lost to the public is an alarming idea indeed. And I just wanted to speak to you today as a citizen of California and a member of the public to say, please, whenever the opportunities arise to acquire properties like the Sea West Ranch throughout the state, please seize the opportunity, seize the day. If you buy it, the money will come. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christie. Reverend Ragel.
I, too, want to thank you guys for being here today and to be able to take this opportunity to express our thanks to you and Superintendent Nick over there. For the last 15 years, I've been chaplain of the San Simeon State Park campgrounds appointed by California State Parks Ministry. And we count it a privilege to bring into that area services on a weekly basis during the summer season for people who would miss church normally. California Parks Ministry does this on a regular basis throughout several campgrounds, but has been diminished over the last few years. And wrapping up, I just have a DVD and stuff I'll leave with your staff for you guys.
Perfect.
To look
thank
at.
You. That's
I
Mr.
want to
Master.
Thank you very much for the
thank you, Reverend Ragel. That's great. Nancy Bast, and Ray McGillicutz after Ms. Bast, then Steve Matthew. Good morning, Ms. Bast.
Good morning, Commissioners. Welcome to our community. I imagine by now you've realized that this is a pretty unique place with all these trees that you see around us. I like trees. And I read yesterday in the paper that our governor, among seven other governors and prime ministers, have made an agreement to reduce emissions by 15%. Within 13 years, and I don't have to remind you, I'm sure, that trees are one of the major things that reduces pollutions and greenhouse gases and global warming. You probably are aware that we've not always had such a great relationship with the state parks in this area because of trees. Specifically because of what they consider eucalyptus to be alien and weeds. For 100 years, these trees have been planted in the area in order to break the wind and stabilize the soil. And when this area had these parks designated, they recognized that they were of great public value, as is. Since then, it seems like the current policy of the parks is to standardize, homogenize, and sterilize their parks by cutting down so-called alien trees and yucks. The point is, yucks are part of our local history. They're historical. For the last 100 plus years, not only humans but wildlife and particular and certain birds and butterflies all call them home, and they make our life much more pleasant and educational because of the interaction with nature. Please use your power and influence to make regional decisions.
Thank you, Ms. Bass. Ray McGillicutt.
Yeah, my name is Ray McGillicutt. I want to tell you what is happening to my neighbors and me. We live right next to a proposed development that borders this mobile home park on one side and the state park property on the other side. State park says they want a buffer in case trees fall or there is a fire. I believe there should be a safety buffer, but it should be on private property being developed, not on public property that belongs to everyone, the state park. Do you not have a policy like civil law that says a private person should not receive special benefit, treatment and benefit from public resources? Not only will this developer be creating 80% of his property, but a 40-foot wide strip up the north side of Black Hill inside Morro Bay State Park is designated alongside a scenic highway. I have appealed this decision to the Coastal Commission, but my point to you is you shouldn't even ever entertain giving favors to park developers. The same thing is happening in Montana de Oro. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Matthew? Steve Matthew? All right. If anybody wants to... If you want to be heard, you must kind of stand by whenever possible.
Wanted to do a quick show and tell, but it's not going to work. We have low Wi-Fi capability in here. My name is Steve Matthew. I'm with AGP Video, Inc., right here out of Morro Bay, California. You may or may not recall that I flew in Santa Rosa about 3 or 4 years ago and videotaped you guys. Got it on the California channel, statewide. And then we have 7 channels here in the county of San Luis Obispo. Excuse me, I was just chasing wire. The whole point being, we are live video streaming you today. And we have a whole treatment of melding your stream with your agenda and then archiving and doing a key point indexing system. You're actually one of the few resources agencies that is not doing this yet. We've been doing the Fish and Game Commission for over 5 years now. We do the Coastal Commission, the Ocean Protection Council, all phases of the MLPA, Marine Life Protection Act, and several others, the Air Resources Board and other Cal EPA things. One of the things I wanted to do, one of the reasons we're here is we're basically a community service-based kind of operation. There is some cost involved. We would like to approach this board, this entity, about pursuing this as a possibility, and we're providing this as a taster. This is our website, Cal.
Could you move that just to one spot? It'd be great, thank you.
Oh, okay. cal-span.org. And it will be archived there by the end of the meeting. And you can all go take a look at it. And all of our contact numbers are there. And if you're interested, you could maybe give staff some direction to take a look at it. The governor, actually pursuant to this, is very in favor of it. He's thrown $500 million at creating a whole infrastructure to live video stream all government meetings.
We'll take that. Staff has heard you loud and clear. And so we thank you. Mr. DePata?
On behalf of Jitters, Save Our Seniors. I'm from Los Osos, and where they want to put this energy hog conventional sewer, right smack in the middle of town, which would be perfect for a park. We hardly have a park for seniors or anybody that even works. Kids have little places to play, but the seniors or the residents of Los Osos cannot afford over $200 a month for a sewer. Now, the best place to put the sewer is out of town. It would come down cheaper. We have a Ripley committee that says that's the best place to put it. Nobody wants to do it. All they want to do is study after study after study. This county is noted for SLO, slow with a W behind it, and nothing ever gets done. And here Ripley already did the study. We paid them $500,000 to do it, and there's a faction in town that wants to put a lousy sewer right smack in the middle of town, next to a church, next to the library, next to the community center. I just don't understand this faction. Now, they've got to be doing something underhanded, and Howard Jarvis said it best 35 years ago, this is the most corrupt county in the state. Now, is it true or isn't it?
Thank you.
Thank you. I know these studies do get monotonous. Yeah. Dawn Borst.
My name is Dawn Borst, and I'm here today because I'm the concession holder at the Bayside Cafe right down the street, and I hope you all have a chance to go there and check it out while you're here. I have heard that state parks would like to, or has tried in the past, to bring in corporations to take over state park concessions because they are mainstream and they're capable of doing what they do. And I am here to speak for myself that the Bayside Cafe has been run very successfully for the last 22 years, and you can probably take a look at anything, any paperwork that will show you how it has grown and grown and grown, and you've received more and more rent on this little tiny concession. And my point is that because it's being run by somebody local, and of course I am speaking for myself, I think it does a much better job for our community, especially here in Morro Bay, because we are between two communities, two very precious small communities, and people drive from one of those communities over to the next, and a lot of traffic goes through here. And because of that, and also because the food is very good, and we are very friendly, and we are local, I believe it is very successful. And I would like you please to take a look at that when you come, when it comes to you to make a decision to make state park concessions more general and give them over to corporations such as Aramark, which I think they do a great job, but not necessarily in our little community.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Mr. Bayless is in charge of all concessions, and you contact him at your convenience. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Is my time up?
It was all about 10 seconds away. Thank
we'll
you very
down.
Much.
Right. We'll be down
Mr. Bayless will be available. No, seriously. Okay. Thank you very much. I do want to say, though, since we're getting quite a lot of things here, things that are unrelated to state parks, I'm now going to start asking people to sit down. So local development issues that have nothing to do with the parks or other matters like that, we just aren't here for that. So I ask your respect. If you are going to mention things that relate to the state parks, great. If not, please don't speak to us. There are other government entities that manage these things. So,
how about the corrupt part? Is that okay?
I was not here at that time. It's a management failure. Anyway, George, this is serious organization. George Taylor, please, Mr. Taylor.
Now, Mr. Taylor, you say trees on here. I hope you're going to speak about trees in the state parks.
Yes, I am.
Great. Thank you.
George Taylor, Los Osos. I'm reading a letter from another resident of Los Osos, Lindy Owen. She was not able to be here today. Dear commissioners, thank you for visiting our beautiful area of the Central Coast. I would like to comment on the status of eucalyptus trees within the state park's lands. Currently, policy opposes the removal of these groves and instead supports not allowing them to spread, especially if they may negatively affect native scrub habitat. This policy has not been closely followed due to what I believe to be a discriminatory view of eucalyptus value of some of our local state park officials. The small grove along South Bay Boulevard was banded and died a slow death, outraging many of us who asked about this declining state of health and found that it was a slow, purposeful removal plan. The loss is pitiful. Painters come to paint the delicate grove and the hills behind. Now it is simply a hill of coastal scrub. Currently there is a proposal to allow a local land developer to remove a grove of nearly 400 tall eucalyptus that grace the entrance to Montaña de Oro State Park for his personal gain. This proposal to replant the area with native plants has yet to thrive on the prior test site that already allows 80 state park ukes to be removed for his solar access. The proposed deal takes water.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I'm sorry, but okay. Thank you for doing that. David Weissman, Dr. Nell Langford, Kelly Devaney. Morning, Mr. Weissman. Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, that seems to be. Good morning. My name is David Weissman. I'm speaking today on behalf of myself, though I am otherwise the chairman of the Morro Bay Community Promotions and Tourism Commission. Therefore, I welcome you independently to Morro Bay on behalf of our Community Promotions and Tourism Commission. And keeping that in mind, would like to follow up on the statements earlier by Dawn. One, I absolutely will recommend the chowder at the Bayside Cafe. It's a really, really good chowder. And taking that a step further, I will second the fact that indeed it is important to us to maintain the idea of local concessionaires in these state park areas. These are unique and individual properties. It's true that they do are able to put a home feeling into it, that it benefits our local economy. There's going to be a national trend towards relocalization of economies away from either private outsourcing or globalization, if you will look at it in the bigger sense of the word, to these homogenized national chains and corporations. And so on behalf of myself and the chowder lovers in Morro Bay, we would ask that you look towards keeping concessions local. We've seen successful examples in California. The Crystal Cove Project, the Point Cabrillo Project are examples of other coastal areas that have maintained local concessions that did not have to require national trends to go to them, and they managed to turn a healthy profit, all of which is plowed back locally, not taken to out-of-state corporations registered in the state of Delaware. So we do ask that that be considered a primary thing here and a big benefit to our local economy. And again, thank you for choosing Morro Bay.
Thank you, Mr. Weissman.
Thank you.
Dr. Langford.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Commissioners. My name is Dr. Nell Langford. I am here on the subject of the Pismo Dunes Natural Preserve, which you designated as a natural preserve in the Pismo Dunes area in 1974. The Pismo Dunes Natural Preserve goes from the Roy Grande Creek to the state-owned state vehicular recreation area and stops there. So I'm in your territory completely. However, the SVRA has been using it illegally because your designation, according to the California Public Resources Code, says the purpose of the natural preserve, all natural preserves, shall be to preserve such features as a rare or endangered plant or animal species in their supporting ecosystems, the surf, the sand, the dunes. This is home to many endangered and threatened species, and you, in your wisdom, designated this to be protected. Also, Section 5001.8 states, the use of motor vehicles in units of the state park system is subject to the following limitations. One, in state wildernesses, natural preserves,
Ms. Langford,
and cultural preserves,
Ms.
use
Langford,
is prohibited.
I don't want to interrupt you, but are you saying that they're using the state preserve for motorized vehicles?
Illegally,
okay,
against
great.
Your designation.
So, Rob, I appreciate that. So we'll ask the staff to tell us whether that's true at the next meeting. We appreciate
Thank
your
you. Can
bringing
we come,
that.
Can
to,
we come in and oh,
sure,
and I would
you,
like
sure.
to
when
present
that comes up,
items.
When that's in front of us, that would
okay.
be great. So thank
May
you.
May I please present the commission with maps?
Sure,
and
good.
Documents that
sure.
support what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Mr.
And
Mastro will take
that. In 1974,
care.
Your commission had its designation, and that should still stick today.
We understand.
Thank
we
you.
Have to study that. Thank you so much. Kelly Devaney.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Commissioners. I am Kelly Devaney with Safe Beach Now. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to express a few concerns. I am here today on behalf of many concerned citizens who would like to ask your commission to uphold state parks and recreation's responsibility to protect and preserve. In 1974, State Parks Commission designated this area as a Pismo Dunes National Preserve, Natural Preserve, and I am here to alert you that its designation is not being upheld. I have witnessed numerous events that are unsafe and extremely damaging to our natural preserve, not to mention its habitats. On May 6, 2007, a marine mammal was removed from its natural habitat, not because of illness or injury, but because it was trapped under a vehicle.
Ms. Devaney, I hate to interrupt you. I apologize for that. My mother would slap me. However, this issue, we're going to look at separately. I believe the prior speaker alerted us to this, and just in the interest of time, because we'll lose the quorum
okay.
and be unable to get to the rest of our business, I'd ask you to come back to that meeting, give Mr. Nastro any materials you'd like us to see, include
okay.
any written work,
mm-hmm.
but let us move on to the next speaker,
okay.
if you don't mind. And I would say that to anybody else who's speaking on this particular point. We hear the point. It's an important point.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to study it, and any materials you could give there would be grateful. We probably would like to save the time.
Okay, and
thank
I, appreci-
you so much.
I appreciate your time, and thank you for
thank
having
you
me
very
speak.
Much. We
and we're not
going
to study it to death either.
Right. Vermont, I can't quite read the Vermont last name. Or Vernon, maybe? Is there such a person? Probably has left. I see. Okay. Marsha Lilly. Okay, great. Would you give your material to Mr. Nastro, and he will make sure that you know when this comes up in a formal way, okay? Jane Von Coe regarding Von K, okay? And then after her, Richard Sandowski, Chris Alebe, and then Marla Jo Bruton, if you could all be ready.
My name's Jane Von K. I've lived in Morro Bay for 28 years, and I'm speaking on my own self this time, not someone else. Sometimes it's very confusing. You can see that the local people want to take part in things, and sometimes we don't understand where all these rules and regulations come from. And I put down birds because that was one of the biggest controversy we probably had in this town in 2002 when the beaches were closed for the snowy plover. Reiterating, the other people were talking about the trees. If we don't have the trees, the falcons and the bigger birds don't stay here. The butterflies don't come. And we end up with sections that are just decimated. It happened up on the hill behind me. And it's very depressing sometimes to see what's going on. And we don't always get the whole information of what's available. So I really appreciate you being here today and listening to all our comments. And the things about the park, the concessions is good. The park in Los Osos, it was decimated with the trees and turned into the skateboard, which is great for the young people here. But other things don't work very well when you see all this stuff being destroyed, and we don't always understand where it comes from. So the other thing is the dunes. I don't understand. Native plants grow because birds and other animals bring in seeds and things, and they're deposited. We had perfectly nice sand dunes down off San Jacinto on our dunes, and when you kill off all the growth there, because it's not native, like taking out 84, 94 eucalyptus trees, it doesn't necessarily leave very good things behind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Richard Sandowski.
Thanks. Richard Sadowski, citizen, Morro Bay, U.S. citizen. I'm a fluid dynamic test engineer by profession. I have worked and lived along the California coast for over 25 years and have noticed the effects man has had along our beautiful coastline. For the past 4 years, I have been involved in the public sector dealing with ocean pollution issues as they relate to private development and the state.
Excuse me, Mr. Sadowski, we have no jurisdiction, just so you know, over the ocean. That's a different commission, so you're going to come to a state parks matter.
It's called State Parks Contribution to the Wastewater Pollution Facing Our Community Today, from this inn right here.
Great.
And that park. As a grade 4 wastewater collection system operator working here in Morro Bay and Cayucas, I am quite familiar with the failing wastewater collection and conveyance system that State Parks has ignored. The accountability of pollution into our ocean is the responsibility of all of us. Several activists are currently working on a regional wastewater treatment plant for the communities of Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. We call it the blue carpet treatment. It replaces, like rolling out the blue carpet. It replaces the failing wastewater conveyance system shared by State Parks, Morro Bay, and Cayucas, and builds a wastewater treatment plant that integrates and restores the diverse wetlands and our state marine reserve. Since this state park and inn currently contributes sewage to the wastewater treatment plant, it's common sense that this commission should be involved in the current discussions in Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chris Alebi.
That's close enough.
Is that close enough?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, Chris Alebi, live in Los Osos. I'm also CDO number 1019. We'll tell you about that afterwards. First of all, I'd like to see these hearings conducted at a little more convenient time. Friday at 9 a.m., people at work, people in school, and whatever.
It's a fair point.
Just can't be here. I don't want to see any fees, kiosks, anything like that initiated at Montana de Oro State Park. A large segment of the community uses the park on a frequent or even daily basis. Family hikes, watching sunsets after work, whatever. That's one of our main reasons we moved here. I like to see detailed public hearings on any cutting of non-diseased or rotten trees in the state park. I don't see how a private citizen on private land can get a permit from state parks to clear cut healthy trees on state park property just to improve his own view shed. That's all I have.
Thank you. Marla Jo Bruton. Marie Smith, Linda Merrill, Ms. Bruton.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Marla Jo Bruton, and I'm a resident of North Morro Bay. I am asking for your help and assistance for some oversight as far as the infrastructure goes in the state parks of California. In particular, this golf course across the street has a failing upper septic tank right now as we speak. The upgrade that was done to our park, where they removed heritage trees and expanded sites for RVs, did not take into consideration revamping the collection systems, which is in horrible need right now. From Hearst Castle, the 15-inch main from there that goes to San Simeon is riddled with leaks, and the wastewater treatment plant know it. State Parks is refusing to fix that, and that is a major pollution to our groundwater and our ocean. So I'd appreciate truly looking into that. And when you do infrastructure upgrade on a park, please include the collection systems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I assume that that's a budget. Do you want to comment quickly on that matter?
Up at Hearst, that is a funded project under deferred maintenance. And
when you say funded under deferred maintenance, you mean it is actually going to happen?
It is actually going to happen.
Great.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
below Hearst?
The golf course is county operated. We work with the county to address a lot of those issues.
So the matter that she's raised is financed by the county, or would be financed by the county if it were to be
fixed. If it's a golf course issue, then
it's financed by the county. Okay.
Sir, they have ignored the issues.
Great.
That's
thank
the point.
We're glad you brought that to our attention, and we're working on it, and your assemblyman puts more money in the park budget. Be happy to work on more matters. He did have his pen out, but we didn't get him to sign off. That was terrible. Marie Smith.
Hello. What? My name is Marie Smith, and I'm from Los
Okay, Angeles. Could I just say one final thing? Excuse me, Mr. Nastro. We're going to say that if anybody now is a late chip from here on in, so we have the chips we have, and we're not going to accept any more speakers or we'll lose the quorum. Go ahead, Ms. Smith. Thank you.
My name is Marie Smith, and I'm from Los Osos. The reason that I am here today is I have reached an age when I realize that our world is getting more complex, just when we needed to get simpler. I have discovered the peacefulness of experiencing nature. While on the surface nature seems simple, I have come to realize that it too is extremely complex, and even the simplest change has far-reaching consequences because no part exists by itself. Even if we just move a boulder in a stream, the course and flow of the stream changes, affecting the banks, bottom, plant growth.
Ms. Smith, I hate to interrupt you, but you really do have to address a matter of specific concern to the State Parks Commission.
This
otherwise, we can't allow you to speak.
This
okay,
has
so
it within
could
it.
You please speak specifically to some specific matter then?
You want me to tell you what it is?
Yes, ma'am.
It's within the next sentence?
Sure.
Okay. Microorganisms, wildlife, and the list goes on. I believe that the philosophy of turning the clock back to a specified artificial time like pre-European does not make sense. By eliminating the natural ecosystems that currently exist, we are not turning the clock back in time. The basic foundations are much more complex and ever-changing.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm going to ask you to stop speaking. We're going to lose the quorum. We have other business we have to transact, and we need to hear from these other people. So I'd ask you to stand down now and let me bring up Ms. Merrill.
May I hand a copy of my speech?
Yes, please, to Mr. Nastro, and that will be in the formal record. Thank you very much.
And I would appreciate if you each would read the speech.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Merrill. To be followed by Joey Ricano, Alan Perlman. Good morning, Ms. Merrill.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our beautiful area. My name is Linda Merrill, and I do live in Morro Bay. Please look into a way or ways to save our beautiful golf course here. Many of you are probably aware that we have lost the pipeline that delivers water up to the tanks that then delivers the water to our golf course, and the golf course is burning up, drying up.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Franco is working on that with your county people who are doing this work, as I understand it.
Oh,
so
we're
relying on his judgment, and if you have problems with what he does at that, you can write us a letter, and we'll look into his work at the next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Merrill.
Thank you all.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You for coming to our area.
Thank you for having us here. Joey Ricano. Mr. Ricano.
Thanks, Rob. Honorable Commissioners, Joey Ricano with the California Ocean Outfall Group dedicated to ending waivers of the Clean Water Act. I'm on working on the Central Coast on water quality issues and have become involved in state parks issues as well. We thank you for your diligence in keeping our state parks clean and full of trees and a place where children and wildlife can frolic, as it were. I had a couple of things I wanted to touch on briefly. I know time is pressing. The issue of Oceano and vehicles on the beach. Vehicles don't belong on the beach, and that's why, out of all of California coastline, it's only happening in Oceano. It's causing great destruction, and I think they're dumping sewage, and that's where I'm worried about it. I'd like to enter this into the record. It pertains to a position that this commission took some years back. And also, as far as Montano d'Oro, we don't want to see eucalyptus removed because they are serving as ESHA. Finally, I would like to touch on the idea of our new state marine reserve under the Marine Life Protection Act initiative process. Morro Bay East Estuary is now a state marine reserve under the MLPA process, which is the highest level of protection. Interestingly, it overlaps with state parks jurisdiction now. So this is something we're going to have to work together on. In conclusion, I would like to recommend, since we're naming things after great people, the Ocean Outfall Group and many environmentalists on the Central Coast feel the same way. We'd like to see the State Marine Reserve in Morro Bay National Estuary named after the late, great Bob Hattori. And I think you all know who he was. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Okano. Mr. Perlman to Mr. Nastro, right there. Alan Perlman.
Thank you for hearing me today. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Assemble, former mayors. I'm forced to burn a minute because I do not wish to be interrupted. I have been speaking publicly before the state and Regional Water Board and have seen serious violations of the Begley-Keene Act as it pertains to public speaking. Interruptions are, they violate that spirit. I will be talking about trees. I'm also have a clinical microbiologist and have in the past I've entered medical publications. I've worked on other biological matters. I've been a member of a bonsai club. I know certain things. All these things are known to other members of the public. A tree is a tree is a tree. As I started entering public, I am also a member of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. I have been for a year. I have heard that eucalyptus are weeds. And that is simply untrue in a time of global warming. There are differences between trees. When eucalyptus is topped, it will develop branches that are subject to falling. So do oak trees. If we could clap our hands and turn every eucalyptus tree into a oak tree, then we'd really be living in a very nice world. Maybe we could clap our hands and turn every SUV into a bicycle. We can't do that. At this time, the eucalyptus trees in Montaña de Oro and in Sweet Springs are actually fog catchers. Some people think of them as dream catchers. They capture the fog. They direct the water, fresh water, down where to the Morro snail habitat. They do not spread like weeds. The cleared Tri-W site in Los Osos had only one eucalyptus growing small. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Marsha Lilly, and then Sandra Hedges. Ms. Lilly? Ms. Lilly, and then Ms. Hedges will follow Ms. Lilly. Morning.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Commission. My name is Marsha Lilly, and I'm here to describe a little bit more about the document that the man just put into thing. And it says that that document states that the Parks Commission accepted some land from the county, which is located next to, was at that time not the Pismo Dunes Preserve, but was State Parks land because the State Parks Commission accepted it. And they accepted it, the deed, except they wanted to delete the words to be used as a park and highway. And they deleted that and put the words to be used as a park and highway forever, to delete that. They did accept the land, but only after taking those words out of the deed, that it would never be used as a highway. It's a piece of land 200 feet wide that runs along the ocean after what became the Pismo Dunes Natural Preserve, which first belonged to the state parks. So that piece of land should never have been used as a highway. And your Parks Commission in 1937 said it should never be used as a highway forever. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Lilly. Sandra Hedges.
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos, 35 years. Well, my opinion is, if something's not broke, why fix it? Why remove those trees? They've been there. It's just going to create an erosion problem. And the trees that they want to put there will take a heck of a long time to grow back. Why don't you just let them live out their lives, die, clean out the dead? And those trees are also a lot of homes to a lot of hawks. And they've already cut down a bunch. And I have hawks. I live on Highland. They come back every year to the same eucalyptus tree. I realize they may soak up more water than the other tree, but please, if nothing's wrong with it, why fix it? Here's an analogy. My neighbor moved in. My garage door fell. The neighbor looks around the neighborhood and says, I need a new garage door. And I look at him and I say, why do you want a garage door? Nothing's wrong with the one you got. He says, well, everybody else has one. And I say, you know the reason why I have one? Because my garage door fell. And I said, if nothing's wrong with it, don't fix it. Please leave the trees.
Thank you, Ms.
There's
Hedges.
Nothing wrong.
Thank you, Ms. Hedges. That closes the public comment section. So thank you all very much. No, we closed the putting in. I'm sorry, those are the last chits that I had. If there's a chit here that I don't have.
What was her name?
Fine, if you're telling me that Mr. Nastro's I don't have Ms. Rabeau's chit, so she's...
Would you care to hear the speaker on an unregistered?
Okay, we'll do that for 2 minutes, ma'am, okay? And then that's absolutely the last person, because we're going to not be able to do our other business.
My name is Verona Rabeau. I live in the South County. I'm a resident for over 20 years. Now, I actually moved here from Europe because of the pristine, beautiful dunes. I'm a visual artist. I was very inspired by the beauty. When I moved here, I learned about the politics, the cars on the beach, and the bottom line issues. I am absolutely appalled that this is possible in a natural preserve, that when you go down there, I really invite you to experience it as a pedestrian. Children get killed, my dogs get run over, they don't stop for pedestrians. You can hardly cross from the dunes to the beach because there's a continuous flow of vehicles. And I ask you to come back to the original landmark protection by the Department of Interior in 1974.
We're going to study that, ma'am. Thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate you coming down. So the public comment is closed, and we move now to agenda item 7, where we have a staff report on the staff's recommendations about Prop 84. Do you want to quickly? I'll do that. So before we come to that, I know we're going to lose some people, on the closed session items, can you give us an estimate of how long those items will take?
I give you 10, unless you have questions, it would be less than 10 minutes.
So 10 minutes on that. This item, do you have an estimate on this item?
Michael Harris, probably 5 minutes.
I can keep it very short.
Okay, so 5 minutes on this item.
Do you close first?
I'm sorry?
Want to do close or?
No, I'm just trying to get the budget of the time. So we have 5 minutes here, 10 minutes on closed session, and on the Central Valley Vision.
Five.
Okay, so that's 20. We're committing ourselves to 20.
20
minutes. Okay, no more than that. Okay, here we go. Very brief, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And commissioners, my name is Michael Harris. I'm Deputy Director for Policy with California State Parks. You have before you a packet of handouts, which I will be referring to. In the interest of keeping this very brief, I'm going to just hit the high points. I've been asked to provide an overview of our process for selecting projects under Prop 84, and the materials before you, I think, lay that out fairly well. There are five brief topics here. One of them is the planning process that we undertook for Prop 84, and that reflected two overarching goals set by Director Coleman for us, which was that we were aiming for sustainability. We had to be there for the long haul. And we were aiming for efficiency. the greatest public benefit at the least cost. We convened a team of executives, senior staff, to review these overarching goals and develop some, identify the major challenges facing state parks in that regard, demographic drivers. If you take a look at handout one, those are summarized there. And I will, again, in the interest of time, not walk through those. I suspect many of them are familiar to all of you. Those are the challenges we faced. We then moved to considering the project selection criteria that would help us address those challenges. And if you take a look at handout number two, they are summarized there as well. There are eight of them, and they derive fairly directly from the demographic shifts that we're seeing coming our way. And then finally, we went back to the back end of the process, and we said we needed to define what the actual outcomes are that we wanted, so that, that at the end of the process, we could demonstrate that we, in fact, achieved what we had wanted to. If you take a look at handout number three, that summarizes those desired outcomes. These are areas of outcomes that allow us then to allocate our funds appropriately. Again, in the interest of time, I will move through that quickly. Finally, we brought in all our program experts from staff who are the experts in all our various areas, and we asked them to propose projects that would meet those criteria and would achieve the desired outcomes. With less than $400 million available under Prop 84, our first list totaled $1.4 billion. Using the criteria and the outcomes, staff then began to rank those projects to see which ones were most effective in achieving our ends. The director has reviewed that list that was produced, and it is now with the administration, with the Department of Finance as part of the multi-year capital outlay planning process. The 7-8 budget, which we expect to have signed very shortly, includes several projects based on this process. They include the Calaveras Big Trees State Park New Visitor Center, Los Angeles State Park's planning, Los Angeles State Historic Park planning and phase of one build out, and several others. Yes. Finally, wanted to talk briefly about accountability. Actually, one point before I get there, I should note that as you go through the materials I've handed you, you won't see a whole lot of reference to climate change. Our awareness of that issue has grown tremendously since this process was undertaken. This is a filter that we, again, need to apply and intend to do so. Finally, accountability. If you take a look at handouts 4 and 5, they refer to the process whereby we will be held accountable to the public. The governor, through an executive order, has directed that we establish a 3-tier accountability program. Front-end accountability, which is basically the project selection process I've described. In-progress accountability, which is based on project monitoring and management. And then follow-up accountability, which includes our project completion requirements and whatever audits may be required. And finally, the information on all of this process is available on Department of Finance, or will be available on the Department of Finance website, which was based on the Props 12 and 40 websites developed by state parks. It's been quite a process. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I think because we received this just now, probably most of the commissioners haven't had a chance to react to it, so I'd like to re-agendize this for the October meeting. Thank you for your work.
Maybe you have a list of projects or proposed.
We'd like to see the list of projects that's with the Department of Finance, if that's allowable by law, and we'd like to have a more thorough discussion of this. We'd like to post this on the Parks website in addition to the Department of Finance website so people are interested. And parks.
The links will be there. We'll connect.
Is there a particular reason why we get it just now rather than
in the packet?
Rather than yesterday?
Staff workload, perhaps. I have to apologize for that.
No problem. It's just obviously, we can't react to this, nor can the public if we've just handed it as you're coming in.
We have to give us such a quick scan.
You've made your presentation, so some of the people may report it. It'll be on the web, but next time we'll get into this in a substantive way. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's we've moved now to item 8. Excuse me, I'm sorry, sir. There's no public comment on this. We're going to take it up again on the excuse me.
I would beg to differ if it's agendized. I think the bed we came
right. But we don't have a chit on it, so there are no chits. The chits had to be put in on this item, just like they are put in on other items. So since you didn't complete a chit, you're not going to be able to be heard on this. Although we'd be thrilled to hear you in October when it comes up for a formal view. And if you'd like to write to us, of course you can, and that's distributed as part of that process. Okay. Thanks. So item 8, which is the central visioning project, where again we have no chits on this item, just members of the public, there, no one put in any chits on this.
Hi, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Dan Ray. I'm the new chief of the planning division in California State Parks. I took Wayne Woodruff's spot, my old buddy, from my days working back with the Coastal Commission. Now I'm here. I'm trying to figure out, well, where are we going to be going in the coming years as I'm taking over responsibilities, and one of those things is the Central Valley Vision. You'll recall that this is Director Colvin's initiative, begun several years ago, to better guide park acquisition development in the Central Valley. And I think you were last briefed on this in 2005. This is an area to work in the 18 counties from Redding down through the Tehachapis, not in the Gold Country, not in the Sierras, but in the areas on the valley floor below 2,000 feet. And we're trying to understand how the department can better enhance visitor recreation experiences and build some partnerships in that area and upgrade park facilities and perhaps acquire some new park lands as well. Now, why a special focus on the Central Valley? Well, it's an important population in the state. It's got about 5.5 million people now. By 2040, that's expected to double. And it's an area with great resources. Of course, these great rivers, the Sacramento, the San Joaquin, there are tributaries, many of which have been developed into these large reservoirs that are so important to the valley's economy, but also provide great recreation. And it's got other unique ecosystems, streamside forests, remnants of California's original prairies, spring-covered, you know, vernal pools that are covered with wildflowers in the spring, and geologic features like the Sacramento, like the Sutter Buttes. It's also got a unique history, not just of Native Americans, but the waves of immigrants who've come through the area from other parts of North America, from Asia, from Latin America, and from Europe, a great history of engineering development, whether it's the reservoir and water resources system, or the railroads, or the history of oil and gas development. And it's made unique cultural contributions to the state, the Bakersfield Sound, Thompson Seedless Grapes, Caterpillar Tractors, and a number of other special contributions. So it's a great area. It's got important resources, a growing population, but it's not an area that's as well served by California state parks as other parks of California. We've got about 17% of the state's residents in the valley, about 15% of its land, but only 7% of the state park acreage, and 32 park units, about a third of which are concentrated in the Sacramento area. So the director initiated in response to that the Sacramento Valley Vision, a team of staff from the State Parks Department, overseen by a group of valley leaders from conservation organizations and state park partners, and local agencies and communities, reviewed opportunities to improve recreation and park facilities in the valley, and the department held 11 public workshops and meetings throughout the valley to learn what folks wanted. And you have in the back of your packets, I believe, report that summarizes the outcome of those meetings.
And we assume that that's online for people who want to
see it. It is as well. Right. And here's what they said they wanted. They wanted better access to river and the other waterways in the valley. They wanted some land acquisitions to improve sites for recreation and secure some of the most important habitats in the valley. They wanted better camping facilities, additional areas for day use recreation, whether that be picnic areas or trails or some off-highway vehicle areas. I wanted to see increased interpretation of the valley's history and culture, of which folks are real proud. And they identified the need for some increased support for local parks and recreation agencies. Sometimes that was in the guise of them asking California State Parks to take over local facilities for which they hadn't the operating funds or the capital to make needed improvements. So what are we going to be doing over the coming months then to respond to what we've learned? Well, initially we're pulling together a set of tentative actions that we're sure we're going to revise over the coming months as we move closer to implementation. But initially we're looking at ways we can expand and improve facilities and recreation programs at existing state park units in the valley. One that I'm aware of and particularly interested in is at the Colusa State Recreation Area, where the Nature Conservancy has recently made a 243-acre contribution that increases the size of that park about five times. That's going to create a large area for potential habitat restoration, chances to relocate a boat ramp so it provides better recreation on the river and perhaps some additional camping. There's other opportunities, one that is noted in Commissioner Coleman's report at the Bidwell State Recreation Area with a contribution of an area to expand a boat ramp there. And, of course, you all know about the Sutter Buttes project that's been underway for a number of years in the valley. We're also examining opportunities to improve recreation at reservoirs. A notable one that will come down the road, we hope, soon is at Lake Oroville State Recreation Area, of course, the big state water project reservoir on the Feather River. There, California State Parks is responsible for recreation at that 24-square-mile lake. We maintain almost 1,500 campsites in that area. We're in the final stages of renegotiation with the Department of Water Resources and others of that reservoir's federal hydroelectric power plant operating license. And that could provide up to $50 million for improvements in that facility.
$50 million?
$50 million, yeah. And we're also then following that, exploring the agreements we have with the Federal Irrigation Agency, the Bureau of Reclamation, to modernize and renegotiate our operating agreements for the reservoirs that they maintain in the Valley Folsom State Recreation Area, Millerton State Recreation Area, and the San Luis area. And we'll also then be exploring the opportunities to work with the Corps of Engineers to take over the operation and improve the facilities that they have at New Malones Reservoir. We're also looking for chances to improve recreation on smaller rivers. An example is a chance to acquire some property on the Tuolumne River adjacent to our existing Turlock Lake State Recreation Area to provide a canoeing trail down that waterway. And I think you're all aware of the work that's been done at Colonel Ellsworth State Historic Park. So those are examples of the kind of things that we can do. We're going to be trying to pull these together in some river implementation plans over the coming months. All this is going to be require quite a bit of work on our part. There's legislation now pending in the state legislature that would require us to present our implementation plan to the legislature within 16 months about how we're going to move ahead with this. And so I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it at future meetings. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much. I just say we should have a revisiting of this item next time we're in the Central Valley, where, you know, it's great to be here, but I think probably folks in that area would like to hear this kind of a summary when we're next there. And I just say, second of all, that the document is great. I think there should be a budget aspect associated with this. So all these steps sort of can sound good, but if they're not financeable in an operating way, I think people could be frustrated. So I think in the next presentation, I think we ought to address that point a little bit. I think that the comments here today about this piece of land that hasn't been able to be used for 4 years, we tell people we're going to do all these things, we buy them, but then we don't execute them, I think that can lead to frustration. So we ought to have a timeline maybe on when these things could be done. Other than that, it's great. Glad the document's on the web. Any comments on this from any other commissioners?
Can I ask one question? Nature Conservancy donated 240 acres. They donated the acreage, actually?
They did, yeah.
Oh, where did they get the acreage?
Well, these are properties that were initially picked up with some funds that came from the CalPet Bay Delta program. I believe additional funds perhaps from private donors.
They're passing on maybe donations.
They passed the land over with restoration.
That's just a part. Personal thing.
Do you want to have a report on that at the next meeting, how that happened?
No. Okay. That's something I'll ask Nature Conservancy.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Welcome to Wayne's Big Shoes. So we're now going to go into a closed session to discuss some litigation matters, and we'll come back out of closed session to report to the public any matters that are acted on in the closed session, and then we'll adjourn. So we're going to have that meeting in this room. Are we having that meeting in this room? Okay, great. So we'll take a short break and ask everybody but staff to clear
that
out. is terrible. So how are we doing on the powering up of the video that young man asked me? Are we all right there, sir? Is he out there? Okay, good. So the video is okay. So terrific. So we'll come back into session after the closed session report. I've asked the general counsel, Mr. Torgan, to report on that.
The matter was heard and discussed. There is no action item to be reported out from closed session.
Thank you very much. Therefore, unless the commissioners have any comments, questions, we move here. Motion to adjourn. Second. Thank you all very much for coming out. The meeting's adjourned.
Good job, Chairman.